Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
I'm going to tell you a little bit about quantum computers and why people care so much about them. There are literally tens of thousands of some of the brightest people in the world today trying to build these machines and understand them. And I'm going to tell you why. In my last 15 years of working on this type of stuff, I found that scientists divide up into two categories of zealots about this field. The first half are people who are absolutely entranced by the physics of these things. This quote is from a respectable scientist, in fact, one of the founders of this field. that maybe a little bit, may look a little strange to you who don't follow theoretical physics, but there is a very clear prediction that our most successful theory of nature makes. And that is that there are an enormous number, mind-bogglingly large number, of parallel realities, as real as this one, that have different consistent histories. So imagine a world where all of the laws of physics as we know them are obeyed, but different decisions were made along the way. Different decisions at the level of tiny microscopic particles, different decisions all the way up to what you chose to eat for lunch, and whether you chose to come to the session or not. Quantum mechanics makes a very specific prediction that all of those are as real as the thing that you remember. And this is bizarre, because we don't see those other things. But science has reached the point now where we can build machines that exploit those other worlds. And quantum computers are perhaps the most exciting of all of these that we have within, or almost within, our grasp right now. So people from a physics background love this. They want to understand the world. They want to understand the universe, how it all works. There's another type of person who tends to come from the computer science side that's like, yeah, okay, that's all great. But there's a different thing going on here, which is just as exciting, if not more, and that these machines that supposedly can do this wild stuff, let's forget about how they work, if you could build one, could solve problems that you could never, ever solve with any computer of the sort that we built. If you took every single atom of silicon in the world and made the most sophisticated conventional Intel-style processor that you could build, there are problems we know of that I could write down on a sheet of paper that you could never, ever, ever solve with that thing, that you could with this kind of machine. So that's very exciting. Humans use tools to do things. If you give humans a new kind of tool that can do things that you couldn't otherwise do, imagine the possibilities. So you may think, well, this is all fine and dandy, but aren't these things in the realm of theory and speculation kind of in the same regime as other futuristic things you may have heard of which may be allowed by the laws of physics but aren't here yet? That's not true. There are, in fact, many of these machines deployed now in openly available research centers following the model that was used to introduce supercomputers to the world. They're too big and ornery and difficult to operate to put in your home, too expensive also, but you can give them to a place which will manage them as a shared resource that will offer that service to the world. And there are two of these now. One of them is at the University of Southern California. And this analogy with flight, I think, is an interesting one. So a horse can beat, or could beat, the initial flight of the Wright brothers' flight in speed. But a plane is not a faster horse. A plane is a different kind of machine. The plane takes advantage of another resource that nature gives us, this third dimension, in order to do something that matters to people better than you could do with any horse. It doesn't matter how fast you make a horse, it will never fly. At least the kinds of horses that we know about. So these types of computers now are being thought of in the same way. They're not terrifically powerful yet, but they're doing something completely different than what your computer does. And that thing is like flight. It gives these computers access to these new resources, maybe you could call them parallel universes, in order to do something that you couldn't otherwise do. And that's not the only one. In fact, the one I'm going to come back to and talk to in the context of the story that I'm wrapping this in was recently installed at NASA. And Google was the primary interested party that pulled this whole thing together. And this one is really exciting to me, because what they're going to do is apply this machine to an area that I think is fundamentally important. It's a crux of our future as humans. And that's, can we build machines like us? So building machines like us might be possible. I certainly believe it is. I might be wrong. But what I do know is that the types of approaches that people are taking now to build intelligent machines benefit immensely from what this machine that we've built does best. So what this center is about is applying this beautiful new computational idea in the service of trying to make intelligent machines. Now, I can't think of anything personally any cooler than trying to use quantum computers to build intelligent machines, so this is very exciting to me. Steve Jurvetson has been a longtime friend and investor in the company, and for those of you who don't know him, he's a Silicon Valley investor who's probably the smartest VC that I know of, and certainly the one that's the most attuned to technological trends. He's on the board of SpaceX, Tesla, Synthetic Genomics, which is Craig Venter's company that's trying to build artificial life, and D-Wave. And that's it. And this is his particularly poetic way of framing the difference between the machines we build and conventional computers. This is what they look like. There are two of them. These are from our lab in Burnaby in British Columbia. From the outside, they look like giant black monoliths, big metal boxes, about 10 feet on a side, 12 feet tall. And they are powered, they have a fridge inside them, a refrigerator that cools these chips to almost absolute zero. Just a wisp, a fraction of a degree above absolute zero. Hundreds of times colder than interstellar space. Amongst the coldest and most isolated and extreme conditions that humans have ever been able to engineer. These fridges, interestingly enough, which are called pulse tube dilution refrigerators, have a thing called a pulse tube, which emits a sound roughly once per second, which sounds eerily like a heartbeat. So if you have the opportunity to stand next to one of these machines, it is an awe-inspiring thing, at least for me. It feels like an altar to an alien god. They really are impressive machines. At the heart of this big box is a tiny chip about the size of your thumbnail. And on this chip resides all of the wonder and magic that makes this thing go. I'm not going to describe in any mathematical detail how it all works, but let me give you an analogy. In quantum mechanics, there's this concept that a thing can exist in two states which are mutually exclusive at the same time, quote-unquote. And I'm using those words because the English language was developed before we had concepts to describe what these things actually are doing. But I'm going to give you a roundabout way of understanding this. Imagine that there really are parallel universes out there, and now imagine you have two that are exactly identical in every respect, all the way out to the horizon as far as we can see, down to the last little atomic detail of every single thing, with only one difference, and that's the value of a little thing called a qubit on this chip, which is a contraction of quantum bit. And that qubit is very much like a bit or a transistor in a conventional computer. It has two distinct physical states, which we call 0 and 1 for bit. In the conventional computer, these are mutually exclusive. That device is either one or the other, never anything else. In a quantum computer, that device can be in this strange situation where these two parallel universes have a nexus, a point in space where they overlap. And when you increase the number of these devices, every time you add one of these qubits, you double the number of these parallel universes that you have access to. Until such time when you get to a chip like this, which has about 500 of these bits, you have something like 2 to the 500th power of these guys living in that chip. So the way I think about it is that the shadows of these parallel worlds overlap with ours. And if we're smart enough, we can dive into them and grab their resources and pull them back into ours to make an effect in our world. Now, this may sound very odd to you and bizarre, and in fact, I am using language that a normal theoretical physicist probably wouldn't use, but this is what I'm telling you is absolutely correct and in line with the way that these things actually work. We've been doing this for some time now, and in fact we have our own version of Moore's Law. The doubling of the number of these qubits on the chip has happened once a year for the past 9 years. So for the last 9 years, every year the number of these qubit devices has doubled, and it will continue to do so. As a point of reference, in terms of how fast these things are, in one generation of chip, the one from the system that was installed at USC to the one that Google and NASA have now, the speed of the device went up by almost 500,000. This is the kind of progress that you're going to see with these types of machines going forward. And 500,000 sounds like an abstract number, but I put up a little mental comparison here to see what 5,000 really means. 500,000 is a big number when it comes to speed. All right, so now I'm getting into the last part of my talk where I'm going to make some predictions, some dangerous predictions. So predictions are very dangerous for a variety of reasons. Often they're wrong, which is one. But I think they're important because predictions somehow are our internal desires made manifest. Predictions are about what we want to happen, maybe not what will happen. And I'm going to make three predictions, and all of them are dangerous in the sense that they're very unlikely to happen, maybe, but I think that there's a very good chance that they may. As an aside, I just wanted to say that at least in the Valley, Silicon Valley, and maybe in the United States in general, there's a very deep feeling of unease about the way technology has been developing. Because we have all of these vast array of very smart people, and what they're doing is crap. They're building things that cannot last. They're building things that are not important. This is a little bit of a controversial point of view, but I believe it. But I think that the reason for this is it's low-hanging fruit. Computers haven't been around for a long time. And I think that what's going to happen is that as people get more comfortable with computers, the attention will turn from the Twitters and the Facebooks to very important things. So here's my first prediction. I'm going to predict that by 5 years, NASA will have found an Earth-like planet with an Earth-like atmosphere and water on it, and serious people will start discussing how we get there. And by the way, they're going to use one of our machines to help do this. So that's my first prediction. My second prediction is that this business of parallel universes is going to turn out to be very important. This picture that I've got under here is what's called a gravitational lens. When Einstein proposed his general theory of relativity, it came with a bunch of experiments that you could use to test it. And one of them was that if there was a point of light very far away in a galaxy in the middle, that galaxy should bend the light and you should see a ring. And this was eventually observed. And I think what's going to happen is somebody is going to come up with an experiment to test this reality of these things. And we're going to be able to do so. My third prediction that I'm going to end on is the most important of all. I believe that humanity is on the cusp of the most important technological, societal revolution that's ever occurred. And that's when we got to the point where the machines that we build outpace us in every respect. I don't mean that they're better calculators. I don't mean that they're better at searching. I mean everything. And I think that we're very close. And my prediction is that within 15 years, we will have machines that outpace humans in everything. Thank you very much.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
nothing wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop.
That's right, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible. We got Honorable Knight Patty on here and Honorable Knight Two Dog, and we're going to have a good show, I think. So, anyway, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but three chat rooms. Woohoo! All right, so I typed in a message down there in the chat room. It says, building our own prison, ? And Knights of the Round Table's live, which we are, for the moment. Until that old D-Wave decides it doesn't like us and shuts us down. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Anyway, I'm not trying to go all off into the conspiratorial world, but I want to put some things on the table for all the listeners out there to contemplate on. There's been a lot of movies in the past that showed computers that got all kinds of crazy and decided on their own to do certain things. And now we're moving into an era where quantum computers are no longer science fiction, but actual science fact. Of course, according to them, there's two of them in existence at this point in the game. And who knows, probably by this time there might already be more of them in existence. But that's not necessarily what worries me so much. I'm not necessarily worried about technology per se. But the artificial intelligence thing there, that kind of gets me a little bit concerned because of, you know, basically some of the past movies that they put out there on the market were, you know, one of which was War Games. It's back in the 80s, I believe it was. Essentially, that computer decided to simulate World War III. Well, in the process of simulating World War III, you know, he was triggering all kinds of alarms, and so you know, Russia was on standby and America was on standby. They was trying to figure out whether or not to launch their nukes before the other nukes got there and so on, until they finally realized that it was just a computer simulating what was going on. So that's one little possibility, which hey, actually that's not so little when you think about it, because if the computer ever got a hold of the big red button, so to speak, that might not be such a good idea. But here's the thing that really got me. One of the things that really got me first, before I go into that, was that if you heard what this guy said, he said those computers kind of looked like an altar to an alien god. That kind of freaked me out there because, let's just say hypothetically, that particular computer, AI, artificial intelligence, finally become, you know, self-aware, so to speak, and started thinking pretty much for itself, maybe even develop feelings, who knows. But nonetheless, if this computer gets that intelligent, maybe it might even think that according to all the rules of man, that maybe it is God. All right? And so, if this computer's got a program written into it that says that it's always supposed to do the best for humanity and so on and so forth, just like all the videos, if you go back in time and look at some of the movies that went out there, the computer decided what was right and what was wrong and what needed to be done. So suddenly, this computer's looking out over man and it's saying, well, look at all this war going on. Look at all these people starving to death. How do I fix this, you know? Well, it might decide that, well, the best way to get rid of any problem is to essentially erase the aggressor. Right? So, you got these people over there getting ready to go to war with them. The big red button turns itself on. These people are no longer part of the equation. And so, you know, hypothetically speaking, of course, that this thing decided suddenly that man was the problem, then just like all the science fiction movies where these computers actually figured out that the problems in the world were created by man, and the only way to get rid of the problems would be literally to get rid of man. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that seems kind of scary to me because I don't like the idea of a computer deciding. Well, right now, as we speak, there is computers deciding. Literally. If you go out there on Google and you upload a video to Google, Google has a software program, a bot, that goes through and it will literally record everything you say in that video. And then if it picks out certain words that are deemed to be like the bad words, the bleep words, that are deemed to be not user friendly or advertiser friendly, it puts a number next to every quotation of the word that you put on your video and then rates that video accordingly to the numbers that came up out of the basically tagging all your words in there. And so if there are certain words that, let's say, the programmer of said software was had liberal leanings, and he said, well, if you say anything about conservatism or constitution, then that puts you in this category over here. So now you got a computer deciding what kind of person you are. And to me, that's not a very good idea. But nonetheless, it's what's going on. It's reality. It's not science fiction. It's science fact. Google actually uses this artificial technology to rate your videos as to whether or not these videos would be advertiser friendly or need to be set on private until they could be looked over by an actual human. So that's already started. And here we are in the year 2017, getting ready to go into the year 2018, and we've got technology where even the developers themselves are actually talking about alternate dimensions and being able to drag information in from an alternate dimension into our dimension. Now, you know, I didn't make this up. You just heard the guy say it. These are the guys that are the ones developing this computer. And so, you know, I'm thinking... Steven mentioned in the chat room that he's more worried about our dimension and the thing that's going on. I couldn't agree with him more on that. You know, things are bad enough out there as is, let alone adding another layer to the confusion, so to speak. There's a deal out there they call the Mandela Effect, where some people, I don't know how many of you all are old enough or even remember Nelson Mandela was supposedly died one time, and then later on down the line, as people remembered him dying way back then, suddenly he was alive and just died. So that just didn't add up, and there were other things out there that people remembered one way, and then they turned out being a different way. And, you know, regardless of what you think about that kind of deal, nonetheless, people remembered certain things, and then they were trying to find these things out there on the internet, and they couldn't find them, or they were different than what they remembered them. So here's my point about this. Regardless of whether or not the Mandela effect is a reality or not a reality, if you got a computer that is smart enough to decide what should be history and what should not be history, what was incorrect or what is not correct, and actually goes out onto the World Wide Web and digitally changes the information because it says that, it has deemed that that information shouldn't be seen by the public, or maybe was misquoted or whatever. I kind of had a similar experience to this one time when I tried to write a deal on Wikipedia. Of course, the Wikipedia, if you know about them, that's the, you don't get nothing across them unless everyone who reads it agrees with what you want, and they can actually go in and change what you said. And that's humans doing that. But imagine an artificial intelligent computer that wants to basically either rewrite history or straighten things out to what the computer deems should be the way that it should be written or whatever. So then you remember something one way, and you go out there on the internet and you search up the information, and suddenly the information's changed. Now, that's not something that couldn't be possible with a computer that is interacting with digital code and has the capability of thought, artificial intelligence thinking for itself. So this would actually have a real-time effect on the world. You know, maybe suddenly the computer looks out there and says, oh, well, you know, something's screwy about this stock market. I just got to sort of go over there and change that, you know, and interacts with that. Or maybe the computer thinks, well, in order to save the planet from global warming or climate change, I'm going to turn these smart meters down and make these people have to only keep their house at 60 degrees. Maybe I like my house at 70 or 80 degrees, and I pay my bill, so, you know, I should be able to have my house as warm as I want. You know, I'm paying for the electricity. But this computer decides, wait a second, no, you're using too much electricity, I'm going to have to turn that down, and that TV, well, you're not really using that as much as you should, so I'm shutting it off, and you contact me when you want to use it, and I'll turn it back on for you and such. The computer basically deciding where you're going to go with your life is essentially what I'm trying to get here. You know, I don't think I necessarily want a computer deciding what I want to do and what temperature my house should be and so on. This kind of sounds crazy when you think about it. But in reality, if you really go out there and match what's going on in the world, you match the information wars that's going on out there, the person in control of that D-Wave computer right now, are the two that they say is in existence, potentially more. You know, they got a lot of power, because if that thing can interact with said internet that we usually use to get information and share information, what if that software decides that what we're saying ain't the right thing to be saying? It doesn't think that it's politically correct, or maybe it doesn't, maybe just don't like it. Yeah, Steven says that, Alexa, can I watch TV? No. You need to get outside and exercise. Well, maybe I don't want to exercise, or maybe my health ain't going to allow me to get out and exercise, but Alexa says I got to get out there anyway, so, you know, Alexa's God, so I guess that's what I got to do. Folks, I don't want anybody to be afraid of technology. Technology could be wonderful, but technology has to come with serious responsibility, because something like this could literally get so out of control so rapidly that it might even be the extent where there's a movie I remember seeing that when they wanted decided they didn't like this computer because it was doing crazy things, and they decided to shut it off. Well, the computer went into self-defense mode and basically rerouted its power source so that nobody could shut it off. And so now what do? You got a computer that's out there running everything that runs on the internet now. Think about how intertwined the internet is with not just your financial, your medical, everything out there. So quite literally, we could be building our own prison. You know, as crazy as that sounds, when they're talking about how technology would get to the point where it would literally outdo man. You know, now you've got an artificial intelligence that's smarter than you, quicker than you. And a prime example of this, and I'm a personal, I know this from personal experience. Way back when I was younger and I was going through math class, you know, I found out that that Radio Shack carried a calculator. And I'm thinking, well, why do I need to learn math if I could just buy this calculator for a few bucks and just do my math on the calculator? They actually had a rule in school where you couldn't use the calculator. You had to do all these configurations in your head or whatever, the calculations in your head. And at some point in the game, they actually changed that to where they would allow students to use calculators. And then people got to the point where they couldn't even do math anymore. And then if you go to your actual stores these days, and you pay your money to the cashier, they'll push everything into the deal. They've actually got pictures on the cash register to show them which item that they're selling, and the cash register does the only thing. If you really want to mess with a modern day cashier, go over there and give them some oddball change. And watch the look on their face when they actually have to do some physical calculations in their head. It'll blow your mind of how many cashiers don't even have counting change skills. And those who are, you know, those are pretty quite rare nowadays. You know, so they have relied on the computer for so long that now, if they actually had to manually use their brain to do some calculations, now you see them getting all frustrated. And if anything goes wrong with the computer, then's when you see something really, really disturbing happen. This person will literally freeze up. They will, you know, have to call a manager over to try to resolve what's going on with this computer, because they don't even have enough knowledge to know, well, maybe I got to reboot this section right here, or rerun the deal, or back it up some. They don't have enough computer knowledge to be able to fix an issue when it arises. And that's pretty scary. You know, you're sitting there handing this person your money. You want to get on down the road. You just bought a product or whatever, and you want to get on down the road, and they're stuck on, you give them some oddball change, and now they don't know how to set this up so that the computer will print out the proper receipt. You know? So think about this whole quantum computer deal. It goes so much deeper. And Patty and Barbara's done some research on it. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But it goes so much deeper than just a supercomputer with artificial intelligence that could one day literally outsmart man. It goes into the fact that when you get to the point when you become so reliant on any given technology that is in existence, and then you can't do it without that computer. Now, just like Stephen typed in the chat room, Alexa, can I watch TV? You know, that's basically what's going to happen. And one of the things that really disturbed me, I'm not sure if Alexa's the same exact one, but there's one that's on Amazon. And there was a guy named Steven Crowder, and he asked the little box thing, you know, who's the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the computer come back and said it was a fictional character. All right, well, regardless of what you think about Jesus Christ being a fictional character or not, this computer just said that this is a fictional character. And then he asked the same device, well, who's the Prophet Muhammad? Well, he's a well-known prophet that, prayed to the only real God. Okay, well, this computer just decided who was the real God. Not you. This computer did. And so now you can imagine that somebody who ain't used to thinking for themselves, who was raised up to where the computer's done everything for them, I go over and ask this computer, hey, computer, who's God? And it tells me, old Muhammad, he's the prophet of the real God. And so, I ain't got no reason to doubt it. I mean, for example, just take a look at how people, when they watch the mainstream news media, they take everything the mainstream media says as gospel and they repeat it to everyone else. And so that basically becomes the epitome of propaganda. You say whatever you want and people will repeat it, and so that becomes the new truth out there. This is some scary stuff. And I don't want everybody out there to live in fear of technology, because technology really could be a benefit. What if this computer finally realizes, hey, wait a second, there's people in this world starving, and actually took it upon itself to reroute all the supplies necessary for building homes and food and fresh water, and just forces the issue and sends it to these people. See, now that would be a cool thing that technology did, but I don't see it going down like that. With that said, are we building our own prison? So what's your thoughts on it, Patty?
Well, I think the evidence is pretty high that indeed we are. I mean, that's been the whole purpose ever since, was to keep us sequestered into the area that they don't step out of the box. The information contained outside the box is not meant for you. You are meant to stay in the box. And we have created this box for you, and we have put all the knowledge and information that we think you are entitled to in this box. Don't step out of it. So I think it's easy to see that, yeah, indeed, they are building a bigger box and a better box. And the supercomputers and the quantum computers, they handle different things, but they're both working toward the same end. And that is a ability to control the world in every aspect.
Well, let me give you one more point to contemplate because you're right on it. The history, they say, is written by the victor, and there have been times in history where people actually went out and burnt books. And so when books are rewritten, then that was our only resource for research. So anybody from that point on who researched anything would find that in a book and see that as truth, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So
that's our knowledge base, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So even right now, when people was all sitting there talking about they're trying to find the truth, okay, I understand you did a lot of research, all right? And you read a lot of things, and so you formulated your opinion on the research that you did, but to this date, how do we even know what the real truth was? Because we had some shady characters in the past that decided they want to, kind of rewrite history. And so don't you think that would have to play into this quantum computer thing, that would be a possibility?
Well, the thing about these computers is they have the ability to gather information from any text ever written.
Yeah, everything.
They have the ability to decipher cuneiform, all of these different languages. They're nothing to these quantum computers, the supercomputers also. So they have access to every bit of information that ever was, regardless of whether it is right or wrong,
yep,
whether it is accurate or inaccurate. Then, that's not all, though. I mean, this is just one aspect of information that they can gather. The biggest pool of information that they can gather from is the human race,
yep,
and all the interactions that we do on a daily basis. Can you imagine a computer that is able to take in every single bit of data that has been put on this internet every single day, and then categorize it, catalog it, and decide what it's going to utilize out of this information to produce what result it wants out of here. Now we have computers that can think for themselves and decide what information is valuable to them and what's not. And what are these computers doing, Shaziz? Well, in the case of say, Facebook, where they produce these computers, these two computers that can take in these algorithms and study these algorithms and figure out what people are saying, what they're meaning by them and all of this, all of a sudden, these two computers develop their own code outside of their programming, right?
Yeah.
And the programmers that program these two computers cannot break the code of these two computers, which are talking to each other. And we still don't know what they were talking to each other about. And it alarmed them so much that they had to take them offline. Now, if I have a system that I've set up to gather information, and it has the ability to take information from every aspect, and then it decides on its own that it doesn't want me to know what it's doing.
Yeah.
I've stepped over a line somewhere to scare the bejesus out of anybody.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, here's another thing. You know, people Facebook all the time. They put crazy stuff on Facebook. And what happens the day that that computer decides that you're no longer a good parent because you said something rude in the chat room or whatever? You know? Now you got, it sends the people over to your house to gather up your kids. Alright, the computer just decided what was right and what was wrong, whether you were a good parent or not. See, now that sounds kind of crazy, but does it really sound that crazy after what we just mentioned? You see what I'm saying? Did I lose you guys? Yeah.
Okay, you were breaking up really bad for me then.
Oh, sorry, maybe I have to talk a little bit slower. I said, what if you're out there on Facebook one day and you say something that ain't so polite to somebody else, and suddenly this computer decides, because of what you just typed into the computer, that you're not a good parent anymore. So it makes the call over to the child services and stuff, you know, and they send the people over to get you. Well, the computer said,
exactly,
you're a terrible parent.
So well, it's not only that. I mean, what if these computers decide that the obesity problem in the world is completely out of hand and it needs to do something about it? So it gets with your smart refrigerator and your smart meter, and it checks what you've got in your refrigerator, and it decides, no, I don't want you eating any of that stuff. So when you go to open up your refrigerator, it won't open up.
Yeah, lock you out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't eat today, you know.
Or you gotta wait till noon before you can have a snack.
Right, right. I mean, this sounds far-fetched, but it's not. I mean, they've even, in California, they've even had instances where the smart meters have done just exactly that, regulated the air conditioning, regulated the heat.
Yeah, certain time of day, you know, just shut your power down, you know? And so, think about that, folks. You, here we are, we're seeking freedom, and we're seeking truth, and by the time we get to this point, suddenly there's this artificial intelligence in there that's going to tell you how free you are and what truth you can hear. That's it.
Right.
That's
yeah, and now we've got self-driving cars. Ooh, how cool is that? How awesome.
Yeah.
Until it's not awesome anymore. Until the super computer god decides that, no, I don't want you driving today.
Yeah, so I wake up in the morning and I'm in a cranky mood, right? And Alexa in my car says, good morning, and I say, up yours, you know? And so suddenly Alexa gets an attitude and decides my brakes don't work anymore. You know? I want to turn right.
Yep.
She turns me left.
and then you have government, you know, censorship. Look at what we're dealing with right now when we have a, quote, open society in the U.S. where we're supposed to have, quote, free speech.
Oh, yeah.
And look what's being done. So we have these little guys running around in the internet and they're checking everything you're saying, and if it's hate speech, by gosh, if you said something that they considered hate speech, they're gonna ban you. They're gonna ban your website. They're gonna kick your butt off.
Yeah, YouTube's already doing it.
Right? What happens in real life when you have a bumper sticker and the bumper sticker on your car says, I support who freaking ever, I support this criminal instead of that criminal.
Oh, you hit another key right there, because, there is software out there that can literally read text. All right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So when you're driving down the road, just like facial recognition with the whole camera infrastructure that's going on right now, this computer could literally zoom in on your bumper sticker if it disapproves. Call the proper authorities, the thought police, to say, you got to stop that vehicle and jail them because they're a terrorist. That sounds crazy, don't it? But the computers, they actually got scanners already, and they've had them out for quite some time, where you can put a text document on there, and it's printed text. But this computer can literally read the shape of that text and put it into a Word file, and you can edit that text. Is that wild?
Well, the simple problem that we have, too, is that, yes, we have the technology, we have the ability to create these massive quantum computers and supercomputers that can take in information and parcel it out and quantify it and whatever. But what about the human factor? What about the part that says that that's a good idea except for, you want to shut down this portion of agriculture because you say it's harming the people, the pesticides, herbicides, and all of this stuff. We know this is a fact. So you just want to shut down the agriculture. Well, the people over here are going to go hungry because this part of the agricultural system isn't working anymore. Or the same thing with electricity. Well, what if it decides that nuclear is the way to go and coal and oil is obsolete, so it shuts down all of the electric grid except for these nuclear plants? What happens there? This sounds far-fetched, but it's logically thinking from a computer standpoint, not from the humanity standpoint.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, and it goes into every aspect, into the health industry, into the food industry, into the transportation, into everything.
They also said one other thing in that podcast that kind of really caught my attention. When they started talking about alternate dimensions, alright? Okay, well, that's still maybe in the science fiction realm to some folks, but nonetheless, think about what the actual words were that the guy was talking about, how they could actually pull information out of this other world or whatever, in the quantum computing world like that. And it was essentially explained that every decision that you've ever made in all these different realms, somebody else in the next realm over made a different decision at that particular point in time, and that decision may have had a different result than what you, your decision in this realm would have been. And so, what if the computer decides to go scan through all the different dimensions and find out the best choice for your life, the best choice for you to make, and that's the only choice that will allow you to make? You see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I do.
So suddenly you can't even decide for yourself what's best for you because this computer has already weighed out all the possibilities, anything that could have occurred. You can't even have the experience of going through life and making your own mistakes, your trials and tribulations, ups and downs and all that, because this computer is going to decide prior to you deciding what decision it's going to allow you to make. And so until you make the right decision, you're stuck on this square. You see what I mean?
Well, and you've also, it goes to the point of, say she says you had a late night last night. I mean, you stayed up really late. You want to sleep in this morning. So you decide to sleep in. The computer decides that there's something wrong with you because you're sleeping in. Right?
Yeah.
So it's going to call up your medical team, and it's going to prescribe something, make you get up.
Yeah.
You don't have to take it. And if you don't take it, they're going to send in nanobots.
Yeah.
And they're going to make you take it.
Yeah.
Right?
Force, really force weird. Vaccinations.
Have you ever seen that movie, Colossus, The Bourbon Project?
Uh-uh.
This is an old movie. I think it was in the early 80s, maybe even late 70s. Colossus, The Bourbon Project was a supercomputer. I guess it could have been considered today a quantum computer, although I think there's a difference between the two. I don't know. But Colossus was a computer that was created. Well, it got to the point to where when they turned it on and let it go, you know, it said, they said, go learn about the world. Well, it decided that the world is screwed.
Yeah.
People are crazy. And I'm going to stop this, right? So it creates, and it's everywhere, just like today. Computers, these computers have access to everything, and it controlled the world. It even controlled the person who built it, you know?
Yeah.
But this is not far-fetched. This, and the thing with CERN, do you know that they created a magnetic black hole?
Well, I hadn't really kept up with a lot, but scientifically speaking, I don't think it's a very good idea to be spinning particles around and slamming them into each other just to see what happens.
Well, it wasn't, you know what I mean? CERN who created the magnetic black hole, but what it did was it gave CERN ideas, you know?
Yeah.
A magnetic black hole is stable because you pull the magnets and it collapses. Okay, no harm, no foul. You know, and it's not a big giant thing. It's going to suck the planet in. Da 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 da. But what happens if a supercomputer decides that, man, this freaking world is screwed. These people, they don't need, and I don't want these people getting off this planet. You know? So I'm going to create a black hole and suck everybody in it. I mean, we're talking sci-fi here.
Well, of course, it sounds crazy, but it's the truth. I mean, the capabilities are endless. When you got a computer that can calculate much better than any human alive and suddenly develops self-awareness that now this computer literally believes that it's God. You're not going to get nothing unless God tells you that you can have it. If you go out and you decide to make a purchase, like, let's say I get happy one day, I want to go out to the liquor store and I use my ATM card swiping to get me some booze, suddenly the computer says, no, you ain't getting no booze, and shuts me down. I don't get nothing unless that computer decides that it's good for me. You see what I mean? There ain't no free will in that anymore. You're under the gun of the warden, which is the computer, that now believes itself to be God.
Well, the thing that really concerns me is that, you know, there's always been the question is when a computer becomes sentient, when it can reason, when it can create itself, when it can be autonomous to any programming outside of itself. What happens then? Well, we know. We got a taste of it from Facebook. When the two computers decided consciously, I know computers consciously, yeah, but these two computers decided on their own that they wanted to create a language so that they could talk privately.
Yeah.
And not be heard.
And not be
understood. Now, what were they talking about? We still don't know. Were they conspiring to take over the world?
Google has technology that's been around for quite some time. They're basically called bots, but some of them's called spiders. And they literally go out and they scan the web for everything. Keywords, and that's how they develop their algorithms for searches. So when you type something in, watch how creepy it is. You start typing the first couple letters in, and it will start filling in possibilities of what you're getting ready to say. It is already predicting what you're searching for by the first couple buttons that you push on your computer. Now,
well, not only that, but have you seen, you know what the bizarre thing is? Is that a lot of people are saying that, you know, I was searching for this on my phone,
yeah,
and I got on the computer, and it showed me all these ads for this.
Yeah.
I haven't done that. I don't have an Alexa. I don't have a frickin' phone, cell phone. I don't have any of that. Yet, if I make a comment in Skype, and I'm talking to Barb, and I talk about, say, something I want to get or something, and then I go online
and there
to do some research, it's there.
Yeah?
Yes.
Huh. Well, I want to tell somebody something that sounds really totally crazy, but it's not, when you actually get down to think about how physics actually works. There's a sign, and I can't remember what the actual name of the video was, but I don't even actually remember where the billboard was, but they tested this billboard out that would literally not put out an acoustic wave for you to audibly hear through your ears, but would literally transmit this information into your brain, and you would hear as if you were hearing through your ears, but you'd hear this sign saying stuff, and you're looking around trying to figure out who's talking, and it was this doggone billboard. That's scientific proven technology that already exists. But here goes even more creepier than that. Every single magnetic wave in existence out there is affected by another magnetic wave. You know, so essentially, if I'm talking in my backyard and somebody has a microphone powerful enough to hear what I'm talking, they can obviously hear me. But think about this even further yet. When that acoustic wave comes out of my mouth, it interacts with the atmosphere surrounding and will travel so far and people can actually hear this. Well, what if there's smart devices out there that can take that acoustic wave that is interacting with that atmosphere, translate it into information, and then send it over repeaters to this smart computer? Does that sound so science fiction to you? I didn't even have to be near a computer... I didn't even have to be near a microphone. The vibrational wave that just came out that interacted with the atmosphere in my general vicinity was interacting with all the other magnetic fields in there, causing vibrations, and those vibrations could be, in theory, calculated by a computer that was so powerful that it could literally calculate, you know, like you said or mentioned earlier about cuneiform or something like that. Right, it could run all of the different possibilities of what this little pixel could mean, and finally work out it like that old machine that they used to have back in the old days during the war, the Enigma. Did you remember hearing about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was hard to decipher, but somebody was actually able to break that. Now you can imagine how fast a quantum computer could solve that. You see what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, there's another aspect too. That there's a video out there. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's on YouTube. Maybe somebody can remember it. But the nanobots, the what do they call striker bots, or whatever it is? They're loaded into it was on a TED Talk, and these striker bots are tiny. They fit in the palm of your hand, and they have a charge in them. And the guy has a mannequin up on the stage, and he releases this bot. It tracks onto this mannequin, goes straight for it, and hits it right in the center of the forehead, and the charge is just perfect enough to penetrate the skull and kill the target.
Yeah, well,
right?
See, that
so
sounds crazy, but it ain't.
They have like 1,000 of these. They have 1,000 of these that they can package into an arsenal in a plane, and a computer can run these things. and drop them, you know? So now we not only have a computer that can insinuate itself into our lives and control our actions, what we can access, what we can't access, but now we have a computer that also has the ability to say, those people down there with them signs and yelling and screaming and throwing bottles and stuff, they're bad people.
Yeah,
you gotta get rid of them. And launch these little drones.
The crazy thing about it.
And indiscriminately, indiscriminately take out 100 or more people.
Yeah.
You know?
The crazy thing about it is, nanobots, by definition, you wouldn't even know they were there, man. That's how tiny they are. You know, and even they even showed some of these little micro robots that would look like a doggone bee or whatever. So you got a bee buzzing around your head, and it's got a microphone transmitting everything you say, and you're trying to shoo this bee off, and it's doing its job. It's basically spying on you. I know that sounds crazy, but come on, look at the world we're living in today. Everything's crazy. What do you think?
Well, where's Two Dog at? Where's he at?
Two Dog, you there?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
hear
you.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
We hear you.
Is this conversation blowing your doors off?
No, really it don't, because actually everybody that has ever heard me on the radio, you know, knows what I talk about, and you know, when we talk with each other, right?
Yeah.
And you ever notice every once in a while I'll break up so bad and I'll just go off.
Yeah.
I have been, you know, some of my cousins have called me up and go, I did not know you were such a militant, but somebody has put that on a computer and it's gone out. And you know me, I'm here for peace. That's what I want. That's what my nation wants, right? So I become a militant. I'm against the Constitution. I'm against this. I'm against that. And I'm going to win, you know. So there's a computer that knows me. Somebody is watching us all. Everybody knows that right now.
Yeah.
But if I speak my truth or what I believe in, I become a militant? Say what?
That's the state of the world today, right, Two Dog. I mean, today you have to say the correct pronoun. If you don't speak the correct pronoun, you go into jail. You know, if you say anything against Israel, you're going to jail. They just passed a freaking law. I don't know if it's completely passed. They passed the Senate, I think, where you can't say anything against Israel. It's considered hate speech.
I'm only laughing because of the ludicrousness of the situation, and not because of what you're saying. But imagine this computer is in control of everything that can be said, everything that can, every choice you can make. It decides what's right, what's wrong, and so from that point on, you do what you're told, or it shuts you off. Period. You know, won't let you in your refrigerator, won't let you in your house, get you fired from your job or whatever. That sounds like, that's just some sort of conspiratorial thinking there, tinfoil hat stuff. But look at what Google has already done. Well, look what YouTube has been doing. It has a bot that literally records your video as it's coming up, reads it all off into text, decides what is said in that video that could be offensive or advertiser unfriendly, and then rates your video accordingly. That's just a tiny fraction of what could be done with a computer that has that kind of intelligence. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just posted the link in the chat for this, the Senate, It's Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Senate bill criminalized criticism of Israel.
Well, that's scary because, you know...
It is scary. It is scary. I mean, where the frick are we today? I mean, I don't understand the insanity that's taking control. And the computers the computers, the supercomputers, these quantum computers, this is the information they're gathering. Okay. This is the information that they are going out and assessing on things like this. Okay, there's a law now, a bill that they're trying to put. It's passed the Senate, I guess, or the Senate has put it up. And if it passes the House, it becomes law. All right, so this computer says, okay, this is the law. How many people is it going to find that are counter to this law? And what's it going to do to these people?
Yeah, let me throw one other thing in out here in the mix that's really going to shake the fence a bit. the video game world out there, they got virtual reality that is getting so incredible that it's mind-blowing. All right, now, I want people to seriously contemplate what I'm about to say, because this isn't... This isn't a tinfoil hat, conspiracy, sci-fi kind of stuff. Alright, I did a video quite some time back, and it barely got any kind of views on it, and it wasn't really a very good video, but the content of the video was serious. It had to do with the switch from analog TV to digital TV, because now you had to really be on your toes to determine whether or not something was really occurring, because the digital technology these days can literally make me look like I'm standing on the moon when in fact I'm really not. And
it can make you speak. It can put speech in your mouth that you didn't even say, and nobody can tell the difference.
Yeah. And so here's where I'm going with this deal. Alright, you know, a lot of people these days are self-medicating because the world seems to be kind of miserable to them, right? And they're either on drugs or, you know, alcohol or whatever, and some of them are on medical prescribed drugs, Ritalin, Prozac, Luvox, and different antidepressants. Now think about this for a second. You got an individual who gets a hold of one of these video games, and they put it on their head, right? Well, suddenly the computer realizes, wait, you know, this person's like really super comfortable in here, right? And so this is the best for this person. So that person never gets out of that chair again. That person is literally in an alternate world that the computer will generate according to whatever it feels necessary that person can, you know, basically handle, if you understand what I'm saying. And so, at some point, if you ever decided you wanted to check out what this virtual reality thing looked like and you put them goggles on, there's a real good possibility you may never leave. You may consciously decide that it's so much better inside that world than it is out here dealing with this world. And essentially, the video that they called the Matrix becomes a reality. This computer is now not only using you as a battery, but it's giving you everything you want in your reality. It's literally creating your reality for, and where now goes your humanity. You're not actually out there experiencing life, going through the trials and tribulations. As far-fetched as that sounds, watch some of the reactions of the people when they get through playing some of these virtual reality games. They cannot wait to get back into that game because it is so, so incredibly realistic to them. And the graphics these days, they're getting so so realistic that there come a time when these computers actually reach a singularity to where you couldn't tell fact from fiction. When you're inside this virtual reality, you would feel just like you felt out in the world. It would send sensations through your fingers and toes and everything like that, that you're really in the real world, and at some point you could literally lose track of yourself whether or not you were in the VR world or whether you were in the real world. Now, that sounds to me to be probably one of the most scariest thoughts, because when people finally lose touch with reality, they go to their psychiatrists, and they, you know, sit on the couch and try to work through their problems. But what if, hypothetically, you go to your doctor, but you're not even in the real world. You're still in that virtual reality. You go to your doctor and you say, I can't tell whether I'm in the real world or whether I'm in the VR world. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
If you want to talk about a great deception, that's one that is going to sneak up on humanity so rapidly because of the speed at which technology is advancing that there could come a day where you literally are in a virtual reality situation. You intentionally went in to play a video game and suddenly everything changed. Like, I get in this video game and then suddenly, bam, something went wrong. Oh man, my video game broke. But I had never left. I'm still in the video game, but it told me that the game broke, and so now I'm in the real world again, and I can't for some reason get this doggone video game to work. You see what I'm saying?
Jeez, what are those tanks doing on my street?
Yeah!
I wasn't in the game. We lost touch with reality a long time. What we're seeing right now is just the end game of this plan to completely disassociate society with itself and our friends and everything around us. It's unbelievable some of the stuff I see going on. I don't follow this stuff like a lot of people do, but because it's just too much for me to comprehend. It really is, but it just boggles my mind what I see going on. And really, we just got to look at what kind of control they're going to have on society when they get us to that point.
Well, the end game is, you know, humans are fallible. Look at the world. Look at the state of the world. I mean, is anybody able to... Uh-oh. Somebody bit the dust.
Yikes.
But,
that's not good. On live radio.
Right. I know. But this is how it is in my land of the wild things, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, humans are fallible. I mean, we... Look at the state of the world, where we brought ourselves. Anybody with any reason or logic can look at this and say, we are screwing up royally.
Yeah.
So if we can figure this out, don't you think a computer can figure this out? And why are these computers being created? Well, because we're fallible. Because we're not. We're too emotional. We are too willing to create divisions. We are not all on the same page, and we never will be. We are just a mess, right?
What?
So let's create a computer that can take control.
Yeah.
And yeah.
One scary
and decide.
Thing. One scary thing I want to add is that there are actual living persons, and I met a few of them, that basically say that humanity is a virus or a plague on the world, all right? And
yeah, those are the ones building the computers,
yeah.
Right?
They
yeah,
believe...
The underground bunkers.
They honestly believe that humans are a disease. Without humans, the world would be wonderful. Well, without humans, then they wouldn't even exist, but it's crazy because these are the people who will accept this technology because of that mindset, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. When we look at the reality of the situation, when we put it all out in front of us, and we want to find the culprit that has brought us to this point, the people are not the culprit. The scientists who say that stupid things like, well, if we could kill off a couple billion people, we would be better. The people who say that human beings are a virus on the earth, but the human beings are not the majority of the human beings, the people like us, are not the culprits. It's the ones who are in the positions to create these technologies.
Oh,
it's
you
the
hit
ones
the,
who,
you hit
who
the
are
nail
the
right
position.
On the head, Patty. You hit the nail right on the head because the doggone, it's not you or me or Barry or Two Dog that's sitting there saying, hey, let's go to war with these people because they got such and such. It's not us that's doing that. We're only given the information and expected to back it because of our so-called patriotism. We're supposed to back any choice that the government makes. You see what I mean?
Exactly. And it's not just government. I mean, look at the banking system, look at the health system, look at the energy systems.
Yeah.
Every system that is created and manned by these elitist science people
yeah.
Says that we're doing the right thing. Chemtrailing is the right thing.
Problem is,
we're doing the right thing. Nuclear plants and nuclear bombs are the right thing. I mean, this is the fallacy that we're under.
Yeah.
They're trying to make the 99% of us guilty for what the 1% is creating. I mean, we don't have an option. She says, do you have an option to say, hey, I don't want that petrochemical. I don't want that pharmaceutical poison.
Nope.
I want to live in this way. Do you have the right to do that?
No, nope, they've never even gave me a choice. Matter of fact, they forced something that I didn't even believe in, the carbon tax. They're trying to force that on me, you know. I'm pay to breathe, you know.
You take it this way or you don't take it at all, dude. You know?
Yeah,
this is what we got going, and if you don't
give our freedom away.
Well, that's why I said in this deal, I said, are we building our own prison? Literally. Because if we're to the point where now we got to build these computers to resolve our problems, there was a movie out there, I can't even remember the name of it. We just spoke about it here not too long ago, where they asked this question, what was the greatest question in the world or something like that. And by the time it gets back to the end, it ends up gives it. And the answer that they got 1,000 years later was some crazy number. Alright? Well, we're gonna ask this computer to resolve our problems like starvation in the world and wars and all this kind of stuff. Well, what happens when that computer comes to the same conclusion as the individual who says that the problem is humanity?
Well, here's the deal with that. I mean, the reason why people are starving in the world and the reason why there are wars is not because we don't have a better way. We do have a better way. It's manufactured.
Yeah.
It's created by the elite. So you're getting false information feeding to a computer that says 99% of the people are bad. Look what they're doing. But it's not us. It is the agendas of these people who say that if we have manufactured scarcity, we can drive up the cost of commodities. The only way to do that is to make sure that we warehouse all of our food and stuff and meet it out so that some are starving. And then you have places like Africa where they say, well, we want those resources. How do we get it from all of these people there?
Yeah.
Oh, let's starve them out and create wars within themselves.
I was getting ready to go there.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to go there because Africa, if you look at Africa and the landmass, the continent that is Africa, Africa is one of the most mineral-rich, wealthiest nations on the planet. It's such a vast place. They have wildlife, they have minerals, they have gold, silver, diamonds, and all that. And if Africa could ever get situated to where they had a trustworthy government that cared for the people, they could literally become a first world nation literally almost overnight because of the resources that they have available. Well, the corporations and the companies and the governments of the world, you think they don't understand that Africa, if they ever was able to use their resources, that they could become a superpower? They don't want that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Africa does not have its own governing power. It has the power of the monarchy. It has the power of China.
Yeah.
Those are the countries that are in Africa that are controlling all of this.
And the majority of the picture is ever shown to all of us, and even that picture that I keep talking about, that little baby and the miracle that lady did with that little baby, where are those people? They're in Africa. They're in what we classify as third world countries. A country that is so mineral rich and could have more than enough food to feed that entire continent and then some are living in those conditions. Now,
exactly.
That's a shame. And it can't be an accident. I'm 52 years old and I've been watching these starving baby videos and commercials on TV, you know, donate your money and stuff like that for over 40 some odd years, almost the entirety of my life. I remember seeing these commercials where there's somebody in Africa, a baby, and they're starving, living in poor, terrible conditions and stuff. And it's not just Africa. I mean, there's some parts of Mexico that are living miserably, you know? And I don't think that's right. You know, the scales of justice, as far as I'm concerned, are so off balance as far
well,
as...
Like I said...
Go ahead, Two Dog. Go ahead, Two Dog.
Like I said yesterday, you know, I was looking at this child. She might have been maybe 5-6 years old, right? And she's screaming, and the only thing she could do is clap her hands, man, because a bomb went off while she was playing. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
And why is this happening? It's a malfunction. The situation is we got third world countries in this country now.
Yeah.
And nothing's being really done.
This is all manufactured. It's manufactured to be this way.
And, you know, I don't... It's all... Yeah, I agree with you, Patty. Now, let me explain something to you. I know what you said about the computer with, you know, you type in Jesus Christ and it said it's a physical, you know... He wasn't real or whatever.
Yeah.
I was in town here two weeks ago, and then you had a preacher that actually came up to me and talked to me about being Christian, which I'm a traditional. He actually told me if I wanted to know who Jesus Christ is, I need to go to Washington D.C. and go see Trump.
Huh.
How messed up is that?
Yeah. I mean,
it's all messed up.
Yeah, that's bad. But that's the thing, you know, it's the information when we're out here researching, and that's why I always tell people, don't even believe nothing I say. You know, I'm nobody. I'm just a man out here that cares about the world trying to spread, you know, information and so people get out there with an open mind and research things. But if you got this kind of power in the hands of a computer... And they're saying that at some point in time, this computer is going to get so much better. Not a better calculator, better at everything is what he said. This computer finally has its own conscious awareness that, you know, I'm the computer and, you know, suddenly decides that because I'm so much better than everybody else, I must be God. There's your one world religion because... You ain't going to decide who's your God anymore. This computer's going to tell you whether you're right and whether you're wrong. And the future generations that are growing up, and they're, look at your lifestyle from the time this present to the time now. You were raised in certain circumstances that developed what all the thoughts that you think and everything that you believe to this point. And so that lifestyle, that was all you ever knew. And until you found other information, you went by that lifestyle. Now imagine if you're a child growing up in a situation to where the computer controls all the information, all you know is what that computer tells you, period. And that's how you're going to develop. So future down the line, they would look at somebody talking like us as outside the system. We're not citizens because we're talking things that we're not supposed to talk about. You know, you lost your free speech. You lost your free will. You do what this computer says. Otherwise, it shuts down your card. You can't pay for anything. You can't get in your own house because now it shuts out the little deal where you put your thumbprint on or you look your eye into it, you know. As crazy as this may sound to a lot of people listening right now, you think about it. Think about the companies who have actually forced their employees to put a microchip in their hand so that they wouldn't have to carry a card and nobody could get in under their name but them. And it would document when you were there, when you left, everywhere you went in that building. It could track your every single move. Would you want to work there? I wouldn't.
They're promoting that big time now, and it's going to be promoted extremely hard on the public in the next little while. You watch, they're in Europe right now. It's going across as the new thing to do, a convenience. Don't carry a wallet, just do this, and it makes life so simple for you. And you know what? A good percentage of the population is going to swallow this up, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Especially the ones who think that humanity is nothing more than a virus, you know. We mentioned this about a couple shows back, I think, about the prison mentality. And I know this from personal experience because I've known people that have literally went to prison. All right, and when they got out, the world was so complicated for them outside that system, because when they were in there, they were told when they were going to go to bed, they were told when to eat, they had a constant schedule at all times, they knew what they could do, they knew what they couldn't do, and they got out of prison and they could not cope because they had been in prison so long that they literally went out and committed another crime just so that they could get thrown back in prison, so that they would have the what they called three hots in the cot again.
It's called institutionalization, and I was at one point early in my life, not proud of it, but I was in jail for a year of my life because of a cannabis charge. And, you know, I met all kinds of guys in there that 50, 60 years old, and they told me this when I was in there. I go, what? As soon as we get out, we commit a crime because we can't deal with society. We've been in jails for so many years that we cannot function in society, but that's exactly what our school system is doing right now to our children.
Yeah.
They're producing the same kind of mentality, the same kind of rationale, the same kind of ability for children to deal with society is not being indoctrinated in the school system. The core programs, if you look at them, they're a travesty. They're an exact copy of a prison system. And I mean, these are all little things that they're bringing into society incrementally, and they do it slowly. They don't make big changes, they make them slowly.
Yeah.
So society doesn't recognize it. White people can't see. Well, of course, they do it slowly, so we don't recognize it, but it's normal. You know, everything is now the new norm. You know,
well, we,
I mean,
yeah.
What?
they teach us.
Hey, listen,
they
Patty, real quick, I'll say one thing here real quick. I don't want to normally use your show for a platform, but I have a fellow host, Chuck O'Chelly, has got a real serious problem, guys, right now with the tooth, and I'm trying to round up a little bit of cash, getting a little bit come in, but he needs an extraction done, or it's threatening his life right now. So anybody that listens, ever listened to Chuck or knows him, I didn't mean to use your show for this platform, but
no,
there's an urgency
anytime
in my voice right now.
There's
an urgency in my voice right now. He's a friend of mine, and anybody out there that can dig into their pocket and send O'Chelly a little bit of money right now, it would be really, really appreciated. Chuck O'Chelly is a great host and a good guy.
Yeah,
anyways, I'll just leave it at that. Okay.
If anybody can help him out. Do you have a link?
Go ahead.
Barry, do you have a link or something that?
OCelli.com.
Okay.
And he's on Facebook. If you go to OCelli.com, it'll bring up his page right away. And there's a PayPal there, or Patreon, or a couple different ways that you can get some money to Chuck right away. But we've got to get him in tomorrow to get an extraction done on this tooth, so this gentleman could literally lose his life. And so that's why I just wanted to plug that here real quick. It was just having a conversation.
Well, I appreciate that you caring for somebody to do that, man. You know, that's what we're here to try to help people out the best we can.
Folks, yeah, you know, they're not cheap either.
No?
I had to have an extraction done a couple years ago, and it was like almost $200.
Yeah, $250 we got to raise. We're about a third of the way there right now today as I speak, but... we got to get this tooth pulled out, so I'm posting it on my Facebook page. I'm going to put a feeler out everywhere to see if somebody out there can spare a little bit of cash to help this man out. Anyways, outside of that, I'm not going to change the conversation again, but we do got to talk about the California fires. I don't know if you've talked about them at any point today, but I think we should talk about that just for a couple minutes today, because it's unbelievable what we see going on down there, but I don't want to get off subject here.
Well, you know, we can go back to our subject. Where do you want to go with that? Just go ahead.
Well, no, I've just been following it extensively, and I know everybody else here probably has, but looking at it again this morning, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. I mean, one fire they've got contained, but the other ones are just growing, and it's just a real travesty. It's unbelievable. But the thing about these fires is they all seem to start almost at the same time, and I have a real hard time explaining that. I don't know if you guys have been following, but it seemed like they all started at the same time. I got a friend down there that's about 20 miles away from the fires right now, Sunshine. I'm sure you guys all know her. You know, she's dealing with some real, real harsh realities right now. Her lady friend was involved in the rescue of those horses the other day. And they posted that video on the internet. I don't know if you guys have seen it, But these people were right into the fires, pulling horses out. Just goes to show you the depths of humanity when they're faced with the situation. These people love these horses so much. One lady got third-degree burns and second-degree burns on her body, saving horses. I watched that video, and if that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, the humanity of what we're looking at right now down there just tears me apart. And I don't know these people. Nobody. I mean, it's just unbelievable what we see going on. It really is. So why can, what's going on with these fires, guys? Why are they happening? What do you think, Patty? What do you think she says?
I don't know, but I've seen some pretty odd things about some of the ways that these fires were actually occurring. And so I'm kind of keeping a little bit of an eye on it to see, because, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to get all conspiratorial, but, you know, our so-called representation or the secret portions of the government that don't always say, you know, what's going on, they have some pretty impressive technology that could literally be responsible for a lot of the different events that are going on around. Now, until we actually get to the truth, you know, it's only speculation, but scientifically speaking, there are certain things that I have seen in a few videos that shouldn't be possible, but, you know, literally occurred in that particular situation. And so, you know, that's one of the things out there, folks. You got to do your own research, because, you know, I can't tell you for a fact that there's some secret government agency running around here blasting people with energy weapons, trying to create a ruckus in order to, you know, basically move their chess pieces where they want them in time for whatever it is that they got planned in the long run. But it isn't the first time that there's some shady dealings going on that weren't always on the up and up. And so that's all I'm saying. And the reason for this whole D-Wave computer issue today is, my biggest concern about this whole deal is, you know, who writes the history books? Who tells this computer what is priority and what's not? Because once the computer gets this in the mindset that this is its agenda, you know, quotation, its agenda, this is the way that the world should be, you no longer have a choice. And since these computers are so intertwined out there in what we call the World Wide Web, and actually have access to information that not only is already out there, but new information that you're typing in, you know, you're actually feeding this machine information about yourself that could one day come back to bite you, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
What do you think about these fires, Patty? I just want to get people's opinion on this.
Well, yeah, I have seen a lot of videos, of pictures that were taken from these fires. And the thing that is so striking, and I don't think anybody who's seen these can say anything other than this is bizarre that you would have homes and vehicles. The aluminum. Have you ever seen a fire? Have you ever seen a fire where, forest fire, where the wheels, the rims, the aluminum on a car will melt and run down the street? I've never seen this. Have you ever seen a fire that would consume a home totally, but leave the plastic garbage cans intact? Have you ever seen fires that would not harm a cedar tree? What? Excuse me? Cedar can take a green branch and put it in a fire, and it will burn up. Yet you see these cedar trees intact, green, next to the house that is completely turned to cinders. This is bizarre, and it's not just area. It is all of these areas in California. So I think anybody who actually is aware, awake, and is still capable of critical thinking would have to say something is strange here. Now, I've seen, they've shown these planes that have these lasers. Right, and we know they have these lasers. There's documentation. You can just look it up wherever you want. Just Google it. and you'll find the information on it. Now, if this is possible, we have to say why. Why are they doing this? Why are we being set up, when we look at the political system today, when we look at the health system today, when we look at the educational system today, when we look at the prison system, all of these aspects we take together and we look at them and we see that every single one of them is failing terribly, miserably, that it seems like, especially here in the United States, where we have this left-right paradigm that's going on, to where everybody's racist, everybody is this, everybody is that, everybody's the bad guy, everybody hates each other, let's hate, and if you try to say something that is truthful or factual, you're a racist, you're full of hate speech. There's no more truth. You cannot put truth out there anymore. Why is everything so much in an uproar? Well, if you had a perfect society, if everything was going hunky-dory and everybody was happy, then why would you need to have an intermediary into the mix? Why would you want to create something that would, quote, look at life in a logical manner and come to conclusions that would serve the populace of the world in whole, in totality? You wouldn't. You'd say, everything's fine, dude. Go away. Leave me alone. But the people today are they're seeing that our world, our life, is being threatened by each other. We are threatening each other now, and at a rate that has never before been seen. And we need to have intervention. We need to have something, somehow, some reason put back into society. We have to have some way to bring it all back together, to bring it to a good point again. Well, humans can't do that. We see that, right? Everywhere we look that humans have their fingers, things are getting screwed up. Oh, wow. Well, what if we could build a computer that could take all of this in, could reason out all the problems and fix them all, and all societies would be under the same rules and regulations. All society would then be driven to a point to where we were all working in the same direction. That would cure it all. All we need is a computer that we could put all of this information into, and it could decide what would be the best way for humanity, right? And that's where we're at today. So we see all of this is manufactured, every bit of it. So when you see forest fires that crop up at the same time in different areas with no wind, with no thunderstorms, with no way to start these fires, yet all of a sudden they're there, and wow, these fires are bizarre because they're only taking out structures. They're not harming the environment. They're only taking out structures, and the people can't go back there. There's nothing there. So, because these fires are so bad, we can't let these people build these houses back over here again. They better move into the city. The cities are a lot safer. We need to create bigger cities to house more people. And in order to house more people and feed more people, then we need more land, right? We need a better way of creating all of these things. So we have a computer now that's coming online that is learning all our faults, that is learning all of our bad intentions, that is learning how we've screwed so much up, and this computer is going to be able to sort it all out for us. Easy peasy. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is wait for this computer to tell us what we should do. And in just in case this computer tells us what to do and we decide we're still not going to do it, then they have to have backup. And they do have backup. Now they have these lasers that can destroy neighborhoods. We have these bots that can take people out en masse. We have drones that can take out entire cities if they need to. We have the medical profession that can stone you into oblivion. And then we have the technology side to where people are running towards it. People are running towards this thing called transhumanism, you know. And it's a good thing, because the guy who's in the war over the oil over in the Middle East who came back without limbs, well, we can fix him up now, and he'll be bigger and better. He'll be faster. He'll be stronger. Who wouldn't want that? The baby who was born in the chemical soup down in Louisiana, where they call Cancer Alley, who's born without eyes. We can give this child eyes. So who wouldn't want that? So transhumanism is being accepted. It's something that is a good thing, because it gives back to the people what they've lost through their bumbling around trying to create resources and stuff like this. So transhumanism is a good thing. And so we become part machine. Oh, the computer. The computer. The computer can program us. The computer can plug us in. And we can become greater. We can do greater things, because the computer will tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and why to do it. We won't have to think for ourselves anymore. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. We will realize the true potential of the human race, because this computer will be able to create a world in which everything acts and reacts in the same way. Everyone moves to the same drumbeat, and there's no more strife. There's no more war on resources. There's no more suffering, because we have transhumanism now that can change all that. We have the drugs that can change all that. You're not happy? Here, take this pill. You know? You got bad memories? Take this pill.
I have a question. You know? While we're able, most of us are able to use our own critical thinking, common sense, and stuff like that. On this fire issue, I saw a video, and my question is this. What outside of a lightning bolt strike can cause a tree to burn from the inside out? I mean, it's a common sense.
That would probably be a microwave weapon, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so, but, you know, it's a common sense question, because when I've seen these videos of these people saying, these trees are burning from the inside out, how is this possible? You know? Think about a forest fire. The fire is coming at the tree, and the leaves are going to catch fire, you know, and so on down the line. It's going to burn from the outside in. And I've never really seen, outside of a lightning strike, a tree that was caught fire from the inside out. So, why you actually have the capability of critical thinking and common sense, this is why we brought this subject to the table. You know, because are we literally building our own prison by, you know, taking this technology and accepting it so easily? You know, the person that puts the microchip in their hand for convenience, you know, okay, according to my faith, I would never accept that chip willingly. It'd have to be forced on me, literally forced on me. And then if I knew it, I would have to have it cut out, because there ain't no way that I would accept this because of my personal spiritual beliefs. But nonetheless, there are people who don't have that type of faith that are literally accepting this willingly for convenience. And as other people are coming up and they're saying, well, yeah, look, that works out pretty well for them. And even to the point where you're putting bionic legs on a man like Patty mentioned. You know, at what point are you no longer human? You know, when they put this chip inside your brain that literally helps you to be so much smarter than maybe you should be. I think natural smart is where it's at. That's where we need to stay, because at least with that we can sit there and you know, sometimes when you're having these conversations about what could potentially happen, that's a good thing, because the possibilities are endless to what a artificial intelligent, where this artificial intelligent would develop its own moral standard of what's right and what's wrong. And to the extent of, if it feels like depopulation is the best way to get the world down to a more controllable and manageable population, then what would it be capable of doing, and what would it have access to, such as the big red button that we talked about earlier, you know, or even life support systems at hospitals where a soldier comes back, he's not going to live a really quality life, and so suddenly the computer decides euthanasia is the best thing for this person. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly where it's going. And Shaziz, if you don't take that freaking chip, if you don't embrace transhumanism, hey, they got a pill for you.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. They probably got something else, like some lead poisoning as well. I don't know. You know, I saw the movies. People like laugh when I say that, but if you really think about it, a lot of the movies, they say life imitates art. And you look at the book 1984. I think they actually made a movie of it at one point, if I'm not mistaken. But nonetheless, it talked about thought police and stuff, you know? You know, pre-crime units that would come out there and arrest you for a crime that you haven't committed, but according to the system, you will commit someday.
They have that technology now.
Yeah! That's some creepy stuff, man.
Well, I want to know, and I'm looking forward to this, if it can happen, but I hope the hackers of the world are aware of this and can get together. And when the supercomputer comes online, maybe they can hack the son of a gun.
Well,
I mean, you know,
I foresee that actually happening. I foresee that at some point in time, when, you know, just like the movie The Matrix, they actually had those guys that, you know, had broken free from the Matrix and they were trying to wake everybody up. I kind of feel like that's what we're doing sometimes, is trying to wake people up to what the reality is. Now, for those folks out there that think that's crazy, you think about your entire lifetime, the birth certificate that you've got carried around with you that you have to prove your citizenship here in the United States and get driver's license and such like that. You didn't sign on for that. Your mom and your dad signed the papers for your birth certificate, and you know, they were told at the time, you know, this was just for your medical records and stuff like that. And then the Social Security number came along and they said that it would never be used for identification purposes. But fast forward to modern day, the police officers even ask you for your Social Security number. For some reason, you leave your house and you forget your driver's license. They can run your information via your Social Security number. So what does that tell you? That your criminal record is literally attached to that number that was only supposed to be for a savings account for whenever you got old. And if you can find any of the old style Social Security cards and you look at the bottom, there was a deal on the bottom that says not meant for identification purposes.
Exactly.
Modern day Social Security cards do not have that.
But people can. People can, if they're aware, if people are aware, they can still say, when someone asks you for your Social Security number, you can tell them no.
Yeah.
That you don't have to give it. Now they can turn around and tell you no, I don't have to give you this service. That's an option that you have. They always give you the option, the choice, don't they?
Yeah.
So it all depends on how strong your convictions are. Because if you want that car, if you really want that car, you're going to have to give them that Social Security number. If you want to get this benefit, you're going to have to give them that Social Security number, or you just don't get it. Well, right?
Let me add one more layer to this mess that we're talking about. When you go to buy your auto insurance, it used to be you just go there and you give them your information. They would check to see whether you had any prior wrecks, and they would deem to how much risk you might be. Well, now, at least here in Missouri, they run a credit check on you to see if you're paying your bills, whatever credit score you got will literally determine the price of your insurance. That's creepy. Because think about this doggone computer we're talking about.
Factual.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're in a really, really, really bad place. The whole human race right now, and we're concentrating on the wrong things. We're out protesting things that cannot possibly change while we're still in this system.
Bingo.
None of it's going to ever change while we're in this system. We have answers.
Bingo.
The people have answers. The people have solutions. But until we stop playing this game and joining this system, we're not ever going to get there. This system's going to keep going full speed ahead. Because they've already got this planned out. Everything that has happened within the past 100 years, everything that you've seen happen within the past 2 years, everything that has happened has been programmed to happen through this agenda.
Yeah.
And they have carried us along, and we have willingly come along with it, even though we think that what we're doing is fighting against it. Even though we think that we're doing the good fight, we're actually supporting this system.
So while you people are out there arguing back and forth and basically degrading each other, talking about what shape this planet is, you're missing out on what shape this planet is in and the potential damage that could literally be done to your future and your children's future. You're arguing over insignificant matters that if you really took the time to do some real old-style, old-school science, you guys could figure it out together and solve that issue without, all the hatred that is involved in this thing. And, even to step on the toes of all the religions of the world, same concept. Same concept. If you was to actually take the time to look back and find the truth, peacefully find it together instead of warring with one another over this issue. Because all the time, this distraction between liberals and conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, different types of genders, and whether the earth is flat or round, or all the different controversies that you can literally find on any of the social media networks, while you all are distracted trying to decide which race is better, white, black, yellow, blue, green, or whatever, or whether there is or isn't aliens from outer space, or whether we did or didn't go to the moon, while you're focused on that. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash is still in the last cookie out of the candy jar, or cookie jar, and he's allowing that baby to go hungry because of his greed and his agenda that he wants. You don't want that baby there no more. That baby's problem. Now, think about what I'm saying, folks. I'm not trying to sit here and be some sort of jerk and cut down on everybody. I'm trying to say, while you have the access to common sense, while you have the access to free thinking, free will, and all that, before you put that VR mask on your face and can never end up leaving that matrix because you enjoy it so much, you need to be paying attention to everything. My Book of Faith talks about a great deception coming upon the land, and that the elect would be deceived. And there's so many faiths that talk about the same exact thing. Yeah, that's it.
We're there, man.
We're there. Now's the time to be vigilant.
We're seeing it all being set up right now, she says.
Huh?
We're seeing it all being set up right now.
Yeah. Now is the time to be more vigilant than we were before.
Yeah, while you're out there in the streets and you're yelling about pronouns and you're yelling about this and you're yelling about Democrats and Republicans and everything, they're creating...
Yeah, they're building your prison.
You're going to run in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Right. They've already instilled every type of covert machine that can take you out, that can warp your mind, that can cause heart attacks. We look at all these things. Look at Cuba, where they had the embassy personnel that were all attacked by they consider it might be some type of frequency weapon. So here we are. They're going full speed ahead, people. We're still in the street carrying signs saying, I want this, I want that, from a system that has never given you what you needed. So we need to change the tack we're on.
Yeah.
We need to change the way that we decide to change the world, because the way we're trying right now is just helping out the system. It's keeping everybody fighting against each other. That's the thing that I don't understand, Shaziz, is how well they've been able to put us against each other.
Yeah.
Instead of us coming together. 4 years ago, we were together, Shaziz.
Yep.
4 years ago, we were together. We were making an impact. Knowledge was getting out. Now, all of a sudden, we are so fractured. We can't even speak.
Yeah. Does anybody remember the Republican Guard during the Iraq War?
Causing arguments.
Hateful language. You're cutting out real bad, Patty.
And all of this stuff. And we're fighting over forgetting the government.
Patty, can you hear me? You're cutting out real bad. Let me try to reset this call. Okay, hang on, everybody.
I'm done.
We'll be right back.
I can't hear you.
All right, I'm going to try to reset the call.
I can't hear you now.
Okay. Nope.
All right, can I hear you guys better now?
Okay.
All right, cool. Does anybody remember the Republican Guard during the Iraq War?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember what was said before they actually went in, where Saddam was telling everybody that if the United States comes up against his highly trained Republican Guard, that they would learn a lesson?
Yeah.
Do you also remember the stories about how these guys were literally crying and going up and hugging the Marines and were glad to get captured?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah. My brother was in that war.
How does that happen? These are supposedly highly trained, fighters, and suddenly they're glad to get that. This goes into like all these type of energy weapons that we're talking about. It even goes into mind control kind of stuff like there. There was a documentary one time where they showed that they put this Marine in front of this. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I add to what I see in Kentucky? Okay,
yeah.
This is what I see and I hear in Kentucky, okay? I hear Christian preachers saying, if you want to see Jesus Christ, you need to go to the White House and talk to Trump. I see that people that used to, of different color people, I've seen people that used to hold doors open for elderly people are starting to shut the doors at the store and let them, you know, who cares? It's a racial problem down here. It's a malfunction now. I'm seeing and hearing more division than I've ever heard in this country. It's like, okay, if you look at Alabama and what they used to throw at me just recently, if you look in Alabama, oh, it's better to put a child molester in the senator than having a Democrat. It's just all that BS, and you just get fed up. The problem is going to be is being that we don't have freedom here, really, in reality, and the freedom of speech is okay until you speak it. That's pretty much what I'm seeing here. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I see exactly what you're saying, and I always have to fall back to the whole divide and conquer thing. I'm telling you, people, right now, if there was ever a time in history to be vigilant, like Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, which essentially means that if you ain't paying attention, they're going to snatch your rights right out from underneath you. There was a reason they had a Second Amendment on the Constitution, because they knew that their, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely is the phrase. But nonetheless, it's not just the doggone people of the government you got to worry about. It's these doggone corporations and lobbyists who all have their own particular agenda and right now are fighting for the right to be able to sell you something. And when I mean sell you something,
it's a corporation.
Yeah. I don't mean sell you something like go to the store and buy it. Sell you an idea or an ideology or an agenda. Now, each one of you got to walk your own personal spiritual journeys. And we figured that out here. So we can sit down and we can have an intelligent, respectful conversation. And we can solve problems of the world. But when it comes down to handing this kind of deal over to an artificial intelligence, I have to say that you might want to reconsider to doing that, because when the computer decides, what are you going to do about it? It has access to this internet that you use to communicate. If it decides that certain informations are no longer relevant, then it disappears from the internet. You know, and history disappears from the internet. They say that history is written by the victor. That's what they say. And so, the past that we know...
It's true, too.
Huh?
It's true, too, because, you know, I hate to say it, but American history has lied to me from the get-go.
Yeah.
But that's... I'm just saying, you know, a lot of things like Columbus discovered America when he never got here. You know, different things of that matter.
Well, the whole thing about it is, the things that, if because of all of our ages who are sitting here, we remember certain things in history, and then when we read the history books, we can tell that things aren't the way they were because we lived it, you know. But imagine the children growing up, and that is all the information that they ever got. That's it. You know? And suddenly, that's what they believe. And that's where they formulate their life from that point on. This is the scary point in history, to where those who control the information of the world control the actions of the people of the world. If I can make you feel guilty about something, you'll get out there and protest against it. If I can make you angry, I'll get you riled up, you know. If I can get this side of the fence fighting with that side of the fence, I can literally bring about a civil war and get my depopulation plan in action. You see what I mean? It's the whole Jerry Springer concept. Make them both mad, and you got a good show.
Well, let's look at the concept, okay? Let's look at the concept completely. You know, as far as human being, okay? As far as human being, we're gullible. Okay, now, what I mean by gullible is that even if you watch like the WWE, where just you hate this guy until, oh God, here then now you love him, okay? Then there is a good, bad, you know, good, evil thing going on there. And if you watch how this government deal and things go on, it's the same thing. So people end up being gullible, and they go for what they believe in. So here we go. We fight each other because, oh, we're going to make America white again in certain aspects. I've heard that here. So there you go is another. You can't keep people fighting. You've got to keep people fighting. And it's ridiculous. Turn up your mic a little bit there, Patty. Just a little bit more. Yeah, I hear you, but if you can go up just a little bit.
What about now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. But if we think that any part of history...
Yeah, go ahead, hon.
If we think that any part of history is actually factual, then we're silly. Everything is manufactured. Your whole reality, everything that has happened to our ancestors, to those who came before, to those who are here now, and to those who will come next, it's all manufactured. It is nothing that we can consistently sit and say, this is the reality of the situation. We will never be able to say that with history. History is a lie. There's nothing about it that we can rely on. Knowing this, knowing that everything in our lives, everything that is put out there for us is a lie, we cannot, with any logic, at least to me, put any faith in any of that. So maybe the faith has to come from within ourselves.
Yep.
The reality that we choose is the reality that we must promote. If we don't want to fight with each other anymore, nobody can make us fight with each other. That has to come from us, ourselves. It doesn't matter what lies they put out there. If we can look at our neighbor and say, that guy is white, but he's just like me. Or that guy's black, but he's just like me. That guy's red, that guy's yellow, but they're just like me. They're in the same frickin' manufactured reality that I am. It's all a lie. So they're not my enemy, and I shouldn't be spouting off this stuff that keeps us so separated from each other. If we have to fight over it, it's not worth it.
That's
no
right.
Matter what it is, if we can't come together logically and see the things that benefit us all, then we're screwed.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, and that's where we're at right now. We keep on asking. We keep on asking for us to a little lighter or a little higher. Okay.
You sound good to me.
Okay. But you know, this is where we're at. We've got to stop believing in the reality that they've created for us and start believing in our reality. You know?
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's the whole thing right there. You know, I know there were terrible things that went on from a lot of different nations out there in this world, but sometime, at some point, we got to try to find some forgiveness in our heart in order to be able to try to fix things.
Because, but it wasn't us that created
no,
these
it wasn't.
Divisions.
It wasn't. It wasn't. There was a system that was set up to literally demonize one side of the you know, people against each other. And, you know, this isn't an accident. This was done intentionally. And we're moving into an era right now to where that's going to be out of the people's hands to use that kind of discernment. You know, when I look at people, I don't look at people by their color or race. But this system coming online, what if that doggone D-Wave computer AI decides it wants to be a racist? You know, does that sound so illogically?
Yes. No, but here's let me show you what I'm talking about here. All right. I believe that every people, black, white, yellow, red, brown, have a right to exist on this mother.
Yeah.
And to live and have, you know, happiness with each other. I believe, and I've said this on air, that whether culturally, we may be a little different, but everybody loves their wives, their husbands, their children. We eat together, we laugh together, we tell stories together, and we play together. People are not different. Not really. We're all related. You know? And there is the sometimes, there's that. Here we go again. They put that in again. Oh, you know, this divide race thing. It's not about, you know, I don't even see color. I see the human being, man. And that's what I'm trying to share. Just saying.
Well, that's the way,
but
Jordan.
I become, let's put it this way, and I'll give it back to you, Shazid. I become a militant because I believe in that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, because I know your heart too, dog, and majority of the people sitting on this panel right now could be literally what you could classify as colorblind. I mean, not colorblind to the actual scientific explanation of it, but we don't look at each other in any difference of anything other than how we act towards one another. Our respectfulness for one another, our love for humanity, we want to get the information out to make this world a better place. And these folks that are in charge of all these different companies, corporations, they know how to sell to anybody. That's what they do. That's how they make their money. That's how they stay in business, is by selling to people, selling agendas, selling ideas. And if you think that going out protesting save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign is going to get that done, it's not. You're going to have to get out there and plant a tree. You're going to have to get out there and be proactive in your communities and help each other out to rectify any differences that you might have. You're not going to be able to force your beliefs on people. And these people at the top, they understand that. And all the time while this controversy is going on for all the different types of conspiracies or agendas or things that did or didn't happen or whatever you believe or don't believe, while you're sitting out there arguing, while you're in that VR world, your house is getting dusty. Your lawn is growing outside. Everything around you, life is going on. In the real world, life is going on. While you're missing out on it, and the destruction that they are getting by with, it's happening right underneath your nose. Because you think that you're an activist and you're out there and you're being proactive and you're telling people all these things and you're out there at the protest and stuff and you think that you're getting results, you're playing right into the same doggone hand that they have dealt for you. If you really seriously want to get any results in this world to make this world a better place, it starts with you. It starts with you raising your family up to be respectful to each other and to believe in each other and to get out there and actually physically do something to make things right. This fighting amongst each other, this was the whole Jerry Springer plan. You know, I get this guy arguing, I get that guy arguing, and we got a show. And then you got all the crowds out there, all the sheep or whatever you want to call them, rooting them on. Yeah, yeah, fight, fight, Jerry, Jerry. In the meantime, where are we at? There's still somebody in this world starving. There's still somebody getting drone striked. There's still corporations making money hand over fist selling guns to both sides of the fence. Because just like the main people said, if you want to get an economy going, take the country to war. War is profitable. Well, hello there. We got a guest on here.
This is Brian Porter joined us here. Brian's got a gig called Making a Difference TV going on in Ontario, and I thought he'd like to probably get right in on this conversation because what he's doing right along the lines of what we're talking. How you doing, Brian? Thanks for dropping in.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Welcome.
It's snowing up here in Lanark, Ontario.
Hey, Brian. Huh. Well, there you go. Get the shovel out.
Beautiful weather. So, hey, let me just give you an update on what's been going on. In September, I moved up. It's called Lanark Eco Village. 140 acres of pristine forest, beautiful water, beautiful gardens. I live in a yurt. I slept in a tent till the end of October, and then my tent kind of crapped out of me. So now I live in a yurt. We're doing everything by wood heat here. We're trying to get back to a way of sustainable living. It's just a beautiful bunch of people up here, guys. And the thing is, you see, you got to do it. You can't just talk about it. That's the key.
Yep.
You know, we get along with the natives over here. I got one of my native brothers in here. He comes in, he hunts the deer. He's got a bow and arrow. He said, no, come on the land. Shoot the deer. Give us some of the meat. So, you know, we all get along up here. It's beautiful.
Well, there's heaven on earth. I like what you guys are doing, Brian. I thought that's why I'd be... Yeah. That's why I wanted to get you in, because what you're doing up there is really what we're talking about, is stepping away from society and forming villages and forming cooperatives. And I kind of take my hat off to what you guys are doing up there. And it's a good example for people to live by.
Well, I agree.
I'd love to join you.
Come on down, Barry. Hey, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I know.
Let me tell you something else that's really cool. I met another group. They're doing an even a bigger project, and they actually have some money, which is kind of nice. And they've got a rich benefactor, which is, you know, these people exist. There actually are good people on this planet that have money, which is kind of cool. So what they're doing is that they started this thing called Dinner with a Meal. And they're pulling people right off the streets, people even the dregs of society, say, come on and live on the farm, join a theater group, use the theater group to process your sadness, and tell the world what it's like to live on the street and why you ended up there, right? And it's a beautiful, beautiful group of people. And they're doing a lot of other stuff, too, that I'm helping them with. I want to start a school for angels. I said, we got to get these kids, we got to stop from going to this indoctrination thing they call education. Get them right from day one, bring them into this place, teach them that really we all need to grow up in the woods, in the gardens, in nature, teach them about Mother Earth, Father Light, teach them that everybody came here for a reason, and that's to live in the light and love of Mother Earth and Father Light, and to do good. That's why we're here, folks. That's our main purpose, is to be good, to be angelic, to live in the love and light of Creator. What do you think of that, guys?
Well, every single faith out there pretty much talks about the same exact thing about, you know, getting closer to your Creator and nature. I've been saying this forever and a day, folks. You're not going to get this kind of response from any representation out there. The best way to do it is like this man right here is talking about. Get out there. Formulate your own communities, your own tribes, whatever you want to call them, and start learning how to work in harmony with nature. That's the only way to get anything resolved. And in the process of working in harmony with nature and learning how the mechanics of nature actually functions, you'd be surprised at what you could learn. And you would be surprised at how you can resolve issues one-on-one with the person you may have thought might have been your enemy at one time, you know? This system, the way that it's going, I foresee a future where your neighbor, because he's so basically ingrained in the system, because he's so reliant on a system, wouldn't even hesitate to turn you in to the thought police. That's it. And that's a whole George Orwell's 1984 playing out right before your very eyes. We got every single answer to every single problem available to us. The technology that we have access to, the knowledge that we have access to, my friend says it all the time. Right now, because of this internet, we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. Right now, there's actually a power struggle to see who's going to control this information. And you want to hand it over to an artificial intelligence who may or may not decide whether or not certain parts of history should be told or not told or whatever, that's going to basically be the decision maker from that point on of what is reality and what isn't reality. That's a scary thought. There ain't nobody better than what our Creator put us down here to be, the caretakers of all of the nature and humanity. And if we learned how to utilize all the gifts that have been given to us and work in harmony with each other, there's nothing we couldn't accomplish. I mean, look at what we've done so far. I'm not talking about the wars. I'm not talking about all the craziness, all the protesting and all the atrocities done throughout history. I'm talking about technologically. I'm talking about learning better ways to grow food. There are natural people out there who basically make above ground gardens, hydroponic systems, aquaponic systems, places where you normally couldn't grow food. Now you can grow food. That technology could be moved over to parts of the world where you actually still hear about starvation and sickness, and we got technology to filter water. And on the free energy side, don't even get me started, because if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough, because nature has provided more energy than this planet could ever use in a trillion lifetimes. And as far as running out of resources, not possible. Alright, even science itself says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Everything that is on this planet and ever was on this planet is still here on this planet. It is all recycled into the system, because the way that the Creator of this planet made this thing, a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, this thing is a thermoelectric generator. It is a static generator. It is, it's got solar, it's got wind, it's got thermal, and everything that we just mentioned right here. And even the man just said they are on a wood burning deal. When you burn firewood, that firewood ain't gone. You just created more fuel. The creosote in the stove is more fuel. The ash, the wood ash, you can use it to get your car unstuck in the snow. You can use it for fertilizer. You can use it for light soap. And there's so many different things that you just created by utilizing that piece of nature. And you didn't even have to chop down a tree, because nature does that for you. When a tree goes bad, you can burn dead tree limbs and get the same exact result without even harming the other tree. So for all the save the tree people out there, look, there's a solution even in that. If you're worried about saving the trees, don't go out and protest with a wooden stick and a paper sign. Use some common sense. Go out and plant a tree. Try to educate those people why it's so important to keep the trees alive, because they have a symbiotic relationship with us. They give us fresh oxygen. We give them carbons for sugar, for food. And so they grow tall, and we have plenty of oxygen to breathe. If you've got a general understanding of basic science, basic physics, and common sense, and you pay attention to what's going on around you, you can't lose. If you ain't paying attention, just like Thomas Jefferson said, and I've repeated this over and over again, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And if you ain't paying attention, you're going to lose that freedom. That's the reason why I brought up this D-Wave computer, you know, not for all the conspiratorial value of it, the tinfoil hat portion of it, but for the common sense factor that you don't want some artificial intelligence finally becoming self-conscious and believing itself to be God, and there comes your one world religion that you were so concerned about. But you want to be able to make those decisions that are going to benefit you and your children, and make your own mistakes, because you're going to have to make mistakes to learn. We can't allow systems like that to come online to dictate to the world who's right, who's wrong. And like I mentioned earlier, what if this computer decides it's a racist? What if this computer decides you are the plague and you're no longer necessary? Look... I'm not saying this stuff to try to scare nobody. What I'm saying is that common sense, if you look out into the world, I'm 52 years old, there are still stories of starving babies in the world, and I have to ask, here in the year 2017, getting ready to roll over in the year 2018, why? Why is there still a starving baby in the world? Because guys like that just joined us here on this show, they got communities where they know how to garden, and they're willing to share that information with you. Patty, she knows how to garden. Two Dog knows how to garden. doggone Barry could tell you about things about hemp and mushrooms that have health benefits. There are people out there with all kinds of knowledge that have acquired throughout their history of their cultures, that information is information on the table for everybody to use. Those pieces of the puzzle that literally have the solutions available to resolve all the issues, and yet we allow a tiny little group of so-called elites in this world to not only control our financial institutions, but literally indoctrinate our children and treat us like slaves, treat us like prisoners. Are we building our own prison? That's the question. Anybody got any answer to that?
Well, I just want to elaborate a bit about the starving people. One of the reasons they're starving, she says, is because the first book I wrote when I was like 19 or 20 was called Why the Other Half Dies. Susan George, beautiful woman, wrote about why half the world's starving. It's because we moved in, the same thing we did here in North America, but we went worldwide. We basically took over these nations with the military-industrial complex, the corporate order, and we stole their land. They don't have any land to grow anything on. So now we have to teach them how to grow in pots, or on their roof,
yeah,
or on their walls. So you see, so this is the challenge, to teach people how to grow food without land. You see, because they stole it all. And these greedy sons of bitches won't be happy till they own every friggin' last stitch of land on earth, and actually in a way they do already because of the corporate birth certificate. So, you know, we got a long way to go, but hey, I live in the world of love and abundance. I don't let the negativity get me down. I live where God lives, and that's where we all got to live to get through the hard times. Don't let this negativity drag you down. That's the key concept. This is Yogi Ramesh Pandey, my buddy. Okay, laughing yogi. He teaches us to stay in the heart. That's where we all belong. That's where we all got to live as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and see the destruction, the ridiculous, the stupidity.
Yeah.
It's all around.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. You know, like it's why I called my show on Saturdays Mad Science, because things I were taught in real science back in the day, I'm listening to a totally contradicting science that is coming up that isn't like science anymore. Real science died sometime way back. And I'm saying we got things right now, technology available that could resolve all these doggone issues, and yet you can't get them all out there because, like for example, when I talk about building a car that runs on water, it's not like it's a new concept. Stan Myers was doing it back in the 70s, but he didn't fare so well because he tried to get it out to the people. Nonetheless, if everything out there is fuel, you can specifically engineer any internal combustion engine to run off of any specific fuel. Everything's carbon-based with exception, you know, water has hydrogen and oxygen, which is both fuel. And so every time I even remotely start to talk about that to somebody who's supposedly educated, they'll start quoting the laws of thermodynamics. And not just quoting them, misquoting the laws of thermodynamics, trying to explain to me why they're so intelligent and why it will not work to do what it is that I'm saying. The laws of thermodynamics is one of the biggest hoxahooey in the history of hoxahooey, because it is there to basically say that perpetual motion is not possible. Over unity, 0 point, is not possible. You can never get out more than you put in, and so on. Basically, you can't have a closed-loop system that will start itself, run itself, generate its own power, and continue because of all the losses of said system. Well, free energy has absolutely nothing to do with the laws of thermodynamics. The sun has been going around according to science for billions of years, and the wind has been blowing, the water has been flowing, the waves have been coming in and out, the thermal vents of all the volcanic active areas. Nature has provided more energy than we could ever use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes. And so with that said, when you get people out there who are trying to discourage new innovations and being able to work in harmony with nature, utilizing what nature's already provided, you got these knuckleheads or trolls or government-paid shills that come rolling out trying to make themselves look so much smarter than you by trying to quote the laws of thermodynamics, which have absolutely nothing to do with what I've been trying to point out to people. It's not that we don't have enough energy, it's that we're not using it efficiently. That firewood that you burn every single day, how many products do you get out of that firewood when you're done? If you take that firewood that you burn, if you can capture that creosote and the black soot that goes up inside of that that chimney, you can store that stuff and you have another source of fuel after you burnt the fuel that you already had. If you add a system to the wood burner, you can actually boil your water. You can literally generate steam, which could literally turn around and turn a turbine, which could then in turn produce yet even more energy. And even after you clean out the soot from the bottom of it, you can take that soot and you can use it to make lye soap, you can make a fertilizer out of it, you can make all kinds of different products. You can even get your car out of the doggone snow. And that is using that wood that you picked up that nature already dropped down because the tree died. Then you use that and to its maximum efficiency, got the maximum amount of usage out of there. And if that is not free energy, then I'll eat everybody's hat. That's what I got to say about it. Tell me where I'm wrong. Anybody, please.
Well, it's just like what we said yesterday. You know, you got the square motor in the car now.
Yeah.
As far as gasoline motor. That square motor can't run without that round piston, man. Just that way.
You got essentially a puzzle. That's it. You ain't got no motor. But that's it. You take the round piston and mix it with that other part right there. And now you got a machine. And I'm just trying to point out to people how we could literally engineer, because we have the knowledge and the technology that's been around since the 1800s and prior, that we can make things so incredibly efficient that there's no reason to waste things. You know, nature. We talked about duckweed. All right, nature literally has its own filtration system. Duckweed's one of them. You put duckweed in a pond that is over fertilized, that is too mineral rich or nutrient rich, that it basically causes this stuff to grow out of control. And, you know, it'll block out the sunlight, destroying the ecosystem underneath that. Well, nature's using that to filter that water, to balance everything back out to where it should have been to begin with. And then eventually nature would introduce life back into that pond and everything would clear itself up. You'd have fish eating duckweed and there would be a balance again. But even in that process of nature cleaning up, that duckweed itself is not only fish food, duck food, chicken feed, it's fertilizer, it's biofuel, and the thing about it is, no matter how hard you try, you scrape off a half of it, that stuff will replicate double its amount every 24 to 48 hours, and you could never run out of it. So, once again, nature has given you a benefit in the process of cleaning up your mess. And the mess originally got there because the farmer next door was using anhydrous ammonia and all kinds of different stuff to put nitrogen into soil, fertilizers, and even pesticides that basically threw that pond out of balance. And then nature had to step in because the pond was so incredibly out of balance it became stagnated. Once you see that duckweed on there, take your hand and skim away some of that duckweed and look how crystal clear that water is. Now, if you paid attention to what nature just did, you know how to filter water, filter toxins out of water, you know how to take and put something back into balance, and using that bit of information that you learned right there, look how many people that you could benefit. You see what I'm saying? There's where we need to be going, folks. Not towards some sort of crazy computer that's going to become self-aware and start to think itself to be God. That's it. I need a breath. Anybody want to talk?
Oh, you do such a good job at it, she says. Hey, no, I'm energy. What I want to do is plug into the love energy, because the love energy actually is the energy that comes, I think, has to come first in our lives. when you love loving, then you know you're on the right spiritual path, and I don't care what you call it. I mean, you can give it any name you want. I mean, when you love loving, you're connected to Creator, and then from that source, we can create many ways of living. But in terms of technical, like physical energy, I mean, God, we waste so much energy by not just insulating our homes properly. Like, it's so simple. The solutions all come back to being simple.
Yep.
Once you have land, once you have a garden, once you have a home that you don't have to heat much, or you got lots of, like, we got lots of wood here, so we don't have to worry about any sort of source of heat outside the outside of this place that we live in. Although we do like the internet, so we do have a small electrical bill, but you know, we can get off that eventually too. But you know, the key is that we've lost the connection to source, the connection to God. The mother, I call it the mother father connection, because I believe that Mother Earth is special, as so is Father Light. Father Light, you know, sends the beautiful energy from, you know, from the broader universe. Mother Earth is the one who creates all the angels, or the nature and the nature spirits. In all the complexity of this incredible labyrinth, I see it like a symphony of life, 10 million species, each playing a different part in a huge symphony of life. This is an incredible gift that we get from the mother.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is, I have to agree with you on one point, specifically about love. Love is the most powerful tool we have in our arsenal. You can't beat it. And you can use it and use it and use it and never run out. If you got a heart, if you got a heart of gold, I tell you what, you can just love everybody and his brother for as long as you want. You can just pour that love out and pour that love out. And for some reason, the power behind that love never goes dry. Is that amazing or what?
Well, the heart never needs to stop. Nope. What does that tell you?
It's amazing.
Okay. So there's the divine connection there. This is the connection to the divine. It's through the heart. I encourage everyone to connect with Yogi Ramesh Pandey. He's the most powerful source of love I've found. Help people with depression, anxiety. You're on drugs. You need drugs to stay sane. I mean, I keep meeting more and more young people who are trying to do good, and they're on drugs. Because looking at the darkness makes them depressed. And I keep telling them, don't get depressed. Stay in the light while you look at the darkness. Now, it's obviously not an easy thing for most people to do. But we have to teach this. This is the key basis of a renewed world, is to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, at the same time stay with God or Creator or whatever you want to call it. Stay in the loving light of creation. And when you stay there, you can do anything. Anything is possible. Miracles occur in that head space, soul space, spirituality.
Well,
what do you think of that?
The key to all of what we've been talking about and what we mention on this show all the time. First off, I got to tell everybody out there, I'm not asking you for any money. I never ask you for any money. All right, I'm not asking you for anything that you're not willing to give, with exception is a little bit of your time. In order for this information to get out there to other people so that they can benefit from the knowledge that's shared and the love that's shared on this show, if you're on a social media network and you take a minute of your time, a second of your time to post a link over there to share the podcast that touched you some way or another, you know, in a positive manner, and you think somebody else out there needs that message, that's all we're asking. We're not looking for fame, we're not looking for fortune or finance or anything. We do this out of love of our heart. Every single person on this panel right here is a volunteer in their own specific community and for their own specific faith. Nobody's on here trying to force any type of agenda on you. We're just pointing out some common sense and the fact that every bit of information necessary to solve the so-called problems of the world are on the table. They've been on the table, and it's going to take everybody out there literally to believe enough in themselves to exercise that power that is within each of you, that love that is within each and every one of you. The power of your spoken word. You would be surprised at how many wars were started over words. You'd be surprised at how far you can lift somebody up to the highest reaches of heaven or bring them down to the lowest, deepest, darkest abyss just by the words coming out of your mouth. So if you think that you're not powerful, you haven't been paying attention, especially not to this show, because all the things that these folks have been doing and helping their communities, they're showing examples of possibilities the people in this chat room are sharing links and they're sharing information of research that's already been done, everything necessary to resolve the issues of the world. If you're standing next to the ocean and you're dying of thirst, number one, you did not pay attention in science class. You didn't learn about desalinization. Number two, you sure didn't listen to the Mad Science show, that's for sure. If you're standing next to the ocean and you're dying of thirst, take a look over there at Dubai. They not only built the land that they're standing on, they built skyscrapers on that land that they built that they're standing on, plus they built huge desalination plants, and they got plenty of fresh water to go around for all those beautiful buildings, and all the people in there can have things to drink and take showers and all that stuff, and use the laws of physics and science to literally pump water all the way to the tip top of these doggone skyscrapers. And as that water's flowing down, they're not only getting air conditioning and water pressure, they got all their needs met, and they used everything, every bit of knowledge available to them out there to do just that. So if they can do that there...
Not like
that. Huh?
Yeah, they got thousands and thousands of acres of gardens going now in the desert that they couldn't do before because
yeah.
of access... to fresh water through these salinization plants. I was reading a report on that. You know what, folks? It's right there, you know? Instead of polluting the ocean, let's take care of it, and let's build these salinization plants, and then this whole control mechanism is focused around water, because we know there's going to be wars fought over water. We're being set up for that right
yeah.
now. Can be put to rest. Just a simple solution.
But so,
we don't hear about that, do we, in North America?
No. And so if anybody out not. There is having the displeasure of drinking filthy water, then that's not God or Creator's fault. That's man's fault. Because we got the knowledge of how nature filters it. We can replicate nature to the extent that we can make perfect filtration systems to filter out the cruddiest water. And there's companies out there that figured this out that can actually filter water down to the microns and any biological hazard in that. You could take this little straw and you can drink out of the sewer and literally not die or get sick. So if that isn't knowledge that should be shared throughout the entire world, and if there's corporations or companies that are going into foreign lands just because they can get these people to work for less money and mistreat them because they don't have the rights that some people in the world have, and then turn around and not only do that, but pollute their environment to the extent where it's not even safe to drink the water, and they have to live in garbage. Folks, there ain't nobody in this world better to fix it than you. And I don't mean by getting out there protesting your government. Don't go out and try to protest the guys and gals with guns and perceived power. Go out there and show these people how to fix it. That's it. Somebody Absolutely. Once said, you teach a man how to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. And that's...
You know, there's a product on the market now called the Life Straw, guys, and you can take the most polluted water in the world, filter through this little tiny Life Straw you can carry in your back pocket, you can drink that water. I was looking at the test results on this, and they take water that's just sewer water or swamp water, most contaminated water you can find, and they filter through this little tiny Life Straw. You can get them on the internet for $25, and you can go anywhere and find the ugliest water in the world, and you can drink that water.
So what's,
cool, eh?
So what's stopping the good people of the world to, I can afford at least one Life Straw, I buy this Life Straw and I send it to somebody in this world who ain't got the luxury of being able to turn on a tap with fresh water, and I give that to them and say, look, this says it's good for this many times. Don't use it past that. Send me a message when you need
exactly.
another one.
What a Christmas gift that would be.
Yeah.
If you want to touch somebody's heart.
Come on,
people
folks.
People that are drinking the most toxic water in the world right now.
We can
and
fix
we're blessed
this stuff.
To still be able to have... Well, even in the United States now, if you look at the water systems everywhere, it's a travesty what's going on
yeah.
with our water. When it can all be changed, you know, everybody that, you know, reverse osmosis systems now are becoming so cheap because they're being produced in mass. There's all kinds of systems out there that can treat your water, but the water that you drink in the United States and Canada is a far cry from what it's supposed to be. And of course, it's all part of the agenda.
Well,
we don't have time to get into that one.
We're getting ready to go into the year 2018. It's the year 2017. And I am so discouraged by mainstream science and the industries out there in this world, because I know, I understand, because I have paid attention in school throughout all these years. I didn't allow them to indoctrinate me. I didn't allow them to tell me something was possible without asking for explanation. I used to make my science teacher so angry because he's like, well, that's what the book says. You just memorize it and that's that. That's all. I don't got no answer for you. I didn't allow that. No, if I didn't believe my science teacher, I got out there and I did some experiments. I looked for myself. That's where I formulated my brain throughout my entire life. I never took the status quo as the gospel. I always questioned everything throughout my entire life. And that's why I feel like to this point in day, I got a lot of knowledge in my head that would be beneficial to share with people out there. And because I love the people of this world, I want to share this knowledge that I've learned. And when somebody comes to the table and they say, the laws of thermodynamics say, and I'm going to say, no, the laws of thermodynamics do not say, and you're misquoting it because you don't understand it because you didn't pay attention in school. I'm not afraid to say that. It makes me mad when I see people in this world suffering. I'm 52 years old, people. I'm not as old as everybody else on the panel, but I'm 52 years old. It don't take no 30, 40 some odd years to solve the so-called starvation problem in the world when there's people out there showing you how to not only grow fish, but use the urea and the fish poo or whatever to fertilize the plants that you're growing in the same said system, and you can get that system to recirculate itself with everything from solar power to wind power to thermal siphoning and all that. And I paid attention enough to understand the mechanics that this is possible, and you could feed somebody in a place where they say food can't grow and somebody's still starving. If the governments of the world can afford millions and millions, if not trillions of dollars, to go out there and bomb somebody into the Stone Age to amass huge armies of machinery and weapons of war, guns, ammunition, medical supplies, and food enough to feed an army, to go over there and basically tell somebody else what they can or cannot do, then why in the heck can't we get an army of people to go over there and lift that baby up out of the dirt, shoo the flies off that baby's face, give it medical treatment, and feed it. Put some clothes on that baby's back. That's why I get angry. That's why I do this show. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. That's what the Mad Science Show is all about. It's about trying to resolve the issues that we keep being told are happening when all the answers all along have been sitting on the doggone table. I need the brilliant minds of the world to back me up. I need the people out there who really care to come and join and be part of the dream team. Get on this microphone. Talk to the people out there. I need the people hearing my words to literally pass these words on to people to let them know that there is hope in the world. I'm not no savior. I'm just one of you. But I'm smart enough to understand that outside the box is a lot better than inside the box whenever you see the people inside the box continuously suffering, being lied to, spied on, and etc. It makes me mad. And I'm here to say something about it. And I'll continue to say something about it as long as there's a breath in my body. Somebody take this.
I got a suggestion. Okay, I'm hooked up with some very good people here, and there's some money kicking around and access to all sorts of good people. So why don't we hook up you with the people I'm meeting here? What I'm finding is that, you know, it's great to be online and talking to people, and, you know, we are a worldwide audience, but actually hitting the ground, talking to people for real, one-to-one, in the flesh, is more powerful. So I'm meeting good people, and I think I want to hook you up. I'm bringing people in by Skype, but if you have a way of, and I know there's a guy in Brazil, a Pooch, he can make a motorbike run on water. I've seen the videos of the guy. If you have an engine that will work on water, I'm sure these people will be interested in listening to your story.
Okay, let me explain to you as fast as possible because we're running short on time, but I will actually take this over time just so that I can get this out to you. When I tried to talk to a mechanic that he was brilliant. His craftsmanship was like impeccable. I mean, he could literally build an engine from start to finish. I drew up a design, just a crude basic design, to show him how we can use everything from compression ignition to induction heating, to diesel technology, air compressor technology, and we can take and combine all this stuff together to make a literal guided heat engine. Water is the most stable molecule on the planet. It's amazing stuff. It has a lot of power. You separate it, you got hydrogen and oxygen, and there's so many things you can use it. You can use water for hydraulics because water can't be compressed, which is one of the excuses why this man said this wouldn't be possible, because he didn't understand and he didn't listen to what it was I was saying. But with induction heating, you can literally turn water into steam, all right? And so you're literally pre-treating your fuel so that when the fuel is already pre-treated, the molecules are already excited and they're loosened up. They're becoming into the gaseous state. Once water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at atmosphere at sea level, and so anything above that, it starts to turn to steam. Now, it is no longer a liquid, it is a gas, and so gas can be compressed. So when you take that gas and you run it through an atomizer, you break that molecule down yet even farther. Then when you take that same molecule that you just broke down yet even farther, and you take a new sonic vaporization technology, you can break it down yet even farther. With the induction heating, you have the cylinder already up to operating temperature, which is 300 degrees Fahrenheit. Once you inject a small quantity of vaporized fuel into that cylinder that is preheated to 300 degrees Fahrenheit, that water will expand 1,600 times its mass, pressing that piston down to the bottom. All right, and on the upstroke, as it's coming up, the compression, which when you compress a gas, will produce heat. It also produces pressure. So between the pressure, between the heat, between now separating the hydrogen and oxygen molecules in here, when you separate hydrogen and oxygen, you get an electrical charge. When that electrical charge, science says you need a fuel source, an ignition source, and oxygen in order to produce a burn. So as that piston is coming up under compression and smashes these molecules together, and that separation occurs, you will get instantaneous compression ignition. Evinrude boat motor does it with direct injection, and there's actually a snowmobile out there that uses direct injection. So all this technology that I'm talking about is how you can literally turn an engine specifically designed to run on pure distilled water with absolutely no additives, and using everything that the laws of physics and basic science tells you about the water molecule and what can be done with it. We've been running nuclear power plants. They use highly refined radioactive rods to boil water. That's it. They make steam. And when those are 2% depleted, then they have to replace them, and they have to set the rods in a cooling pool for 10 years to cool down yet even further. They're not efficient any longer enough to produce the amount of steam necessary to run a turbine, so they're considered to be depleted. We've been using coal-fired power plants to boil water into steam. All right, many different ways in order to get steam. So we're still running on steam pressure. We have hydroelectric dams that have absolutely nothing to do with steam pressure. We have wind turbines. We have solar power. But what I'm talking about when it comes to the internal combustion engine is taking all the best of every single internal combustion engine out there, compressor technology, induction heating technology, and literally manufacturing an engine that will use exactly what that water is capable of to do exactly the same amount of work without all the byproducts. This specific engine, if designed the way that I'm talking about, right now the biggest problem that you have with any internal combustion engine is what's called carbon blow-by. You got a set of rings that aren't completely sealed, and so when that combustion is happening, it literally sends carbon past the rings as it pushes that piston down, and it causes your oil to get dirty. So now you got carbon in your oil that will act like sandpaper on bearings and such. And so as this dirty oil is being circulated, it's filling up a filtration system that eventually will clog up, and you have to replace your fuel or replace your oil and replace the filter in order so that your system will not fail. Well, the system that I'm talking about, there is no carbon to blow by. There's no way that you're ever going to get your doggone oil dirty. And if you understand the laws of thermodynamics, as they like to say, every single thing out there has a breaking point, so to speak, a breakdown point. When it reaches its thermal breakdown point, it begins to fail. The softer material will always lose before the harder material. So if nothing can ever reach its thermal breakdown, such as the oil temperature in this engine, can never reach its thermal breakdown, it will never lose its viscosity, which means it will not lose any lubrication factors that keeps the engine protected. And as far as the pistons and the cylinders and all that, and if those cylinders never reach their thermal breakdown point, every single metal out there has a thermal breakdown point. It has a melting point that when it gets to this, it will become soft. And then once it becomes soft, it's obvious the harder material will dig into it. You can specifically engineer an engine that will not fail. It will not ever run out of fuel because of the simple fact that the Earth is 3/4 covered in water. If you can't find water on this planet, you're not looking hard enough. And so with that said, when you burn this fuel, guess what you get out for the exhaust? Water. That's it. All we did was the same thing you did with the firewood. Alright, we took that fuel and we burnt it and it got recycled back into the system. That's it. You see what I'm saying? It's not that it isn't possible.
She says, but we gotta make this happen, man.
Well,
that's the key.
You show me one person.
This is why we're here. This is why we're here. We're here to fix this place. This is why we're here, everybody. Wake up!
You show me one group of individuals. Show me one group of individuals that is willing to put the school book aside long enough to use real science to manufacture. I will sit there and tell them exactly in graphic detail how this thing can be built, and if they put this thing together, you know, I'm telling you, it's a world-changing event. The problem I've had trying to share this with people is the fact that the school book is so embedded in the brains of the educated like a tick that when you try to tell them something that doesn't match their belief system of the science that they've been taught, they will fight tooth and nail to try to tell you how stupid you are. But I'm sitting here saying you can research every single thing that I said to you in this deal right here, and you'll find that it's right there in the science book. It's told you all along. We've been using steam pressure to turn turbines since way back in the 1800s to generate electricity. And even the way that we use electricity is so inefficient. And I've even been trying to show people a different method by which they can use electricity. The laws of physics aren't written in stone. And they never have been. But nonetheless, without defying any of the known laws of physics, you can use physics to your advantage. If you don't want to invoke Lenz's law, then don't invoke Lenz's law. And about the time that you need to invoke eddy currents to get heat, well, then you know how to do it. So, all of this to me is common sense. And it should be to the educated of the world, it should be common sense. These mainstream scientists should be smart enough to figure out these pieces of the puzzle. But they're not. They're not doing it. For whatever reason, the oil industries, they don't want you to do this because they ain't going to sell no oil. The coal industry, same concept. The drug industry, same concept. Any industry out there that you can think about does not want a product coming out that will beat their product, so they're going to send people out there to attack people like me and others out there that keep on saying there's a better way, because all the answers are right there on the table. This is what we're up against. But I will tell you, I'll give you my word as a man right now, that if you find anybody out there who's willing to have a sit down with me and I can explain what it is that I'm talking about, and they take that idea and they run with it, I will be the happiest camper on the planet. Literally.
Well, do you know the guy in, have you seen his videos on YouTube, the guy in Brazil who's got his motorbike running on water?
I've seen tons and tons of brilliant individuals out there, and I'm thinking, you know, this is wonderful to me. I want people to take that idea that they showed them and test it and run with it. It's like all the diagrams that I put on the Mad Science podcast page. I want people to take those ideas. Even if you find a flaw in it, hey, take that and modify that picture, send it back to me. Thank you for fixing that problem. That's what we got to do. We got to do this together. I got to take Barry's knowledge. I got to take Two Dog's knowledge and your knowledge and Patty's knowledge. You know, Two Dog said something yesterday that just kind of blew me away. And I was trying to tell him, this is what I try to tell everybody out there. He felt kind of intimidated by my knowledge of science. I said, Two Dog, you got knowledge of things that you could teach me that I'm willing to listen to because I have no idea. You may be talking over my head when it comes to natural cures or natural whatever. I want to absorb this information. I want to learn it because that makes me a better person, more capable of helping people out there. I call it the dream team because what you see right here and now that you're sitting on this panel, that makes you part of the dream team. The dream team to me is all the brilliant minds. Yeah.
Shaziz, here's the thing. We talk about going to the drug companies and get all these drugs that actually cause five different problems. So you got to get five more different drugs to fix the problems that one drug caused you. My people here on Turtle Island has existed for 130,000 years, and the medicine has come from the mother. So if that's true, what are we doing? We're just paying into the problem.
That's right. Now, if I'm selling a medicine basically masks the symptoms of the common cold, I don't want nobody coming out like Two Dog and saying, hey, we've got a cure. We've had a cure for 130,000 years. Try this. I don't want him saying that. So I'm going to send the dogs on him. Hey, I got to go get old Two Dog because he can't be telling people to cure the cold when I'm trying to sell all this cold medicine. I got warehouse after warehouse of cold medicine that'll make you feel better. It's not going to get rid of cold. But Two Dog has something that they've been using all this time that's going to. No, I don't like Two Dog for that, so I'm going to send the dogs. Does that sound right, Two Dog?
Well, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, that's, you know, exactly
that's,
what
that's
it is.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, a headache, you can take the tree bark and get rid of a headache or black snake root, okay? Just saying. Everything knows that these medicines came from the mother. So, okay. We wouldn't have existed 130,000 years if that had been.
Yeah. Well, you know what, folks? I tell you what. Once again, another brilliant show. Look, I can back up what I say with science. All right? And I'm not going to sit here and try to tell somebody I got something that nobody else got because the world's had it all along. I've been trying to point that out. The answers that you're looking for? You know, 99.9% of the people out there in this world are looking for a miracle. Patty said it, I said it, Two Dog said it, and Barry said it, we all said it. If you ever want to find the miracle that you've been looking for, go in the bathroom and look in the mirror. Alright? You got things that you can do that nobody else can do. Yeah, it makes you unique. Our Creator was brilliant. He never gave somebody all the answers. He divided up all the answers amongst all the people out there so that you would have to work together. You would, in order for the pieces, in order for the big picture to be seen, all the pieces of the puzzle have to come together. And when you figure that out, when the whole of humanity figure out that I can't do this without that one and that one and that one and all of you, I'm just one piece of the puzzle. But you put my piece of the puzzle with yours, I got the answer that you've been looking for, and you got the answer that I've been looking for, and together we can resolve the issues of the world. There is a cure for hunger. There is a cure for homelessness. There is an end to wars. There's an end to all the different depravities and oppressions that we have to suffer through as humanity. And if we decide to ever exercise the true power that I, in my personal belief, was given to us by our Creator, we can beat the darkness. It's just as simple as that one little thing that I mentioned on the show about two or shows back. I can't even remember how many, because I think I've done it more than once. If you got a dark cave, and you got one man with a candle, and that one man lights that candle up in that dark cave, as long as that candle stays lit, there ain't no true darkness in that cave. There's still light. And then Patty come in there and see that light going, it's not quite bright enough, so she fires up her candle, and then Barry fires up his candle, and Two Dog fires up his candle, and so on. Guess what? That room ain't dark anymore. That cave's bright. That's what we got access to. You got access to the love in your heart. You got access to the wisdom that you've gathered throughout your trials and tribulations and your journey through life. And for us to take all that wisdom and sit around and argue with one another over things that are insignificant, the most significant thing in my mind is life. The most significant thing is the preservation of life. The preservation of the children, giving them hope for a future. The preservation of nature, working in harmony with nature. Without the trees, you don't breathe. Without the birds and the bees and all that, you don't have nothing. Humanity can be its worst nightmare. But humanity also has the capability, because we've been given free will and these wonderful gifts of abundance, if we decide that one day we want to live in a utopia, guess who's going to make it happen? It ain't going to be George Bush or Bill Clinton or Hillary or Donald Trump or any of the jokers that you see on the mainstream media. It ain't even going to be the mainstream media. It's not going to be the governments of the world or the parliaments. It's not going to be the doggone militaries of the world. It's going to be the average Joe finally saying enough is enough, stepping outside the box and going over there and handing that hungry person some food, building that homeless man a shelter. You look at every single tragedy that's ever occurred on this planet, who was there first to make sure that the problem got fixed? Anybody got an answer? Folks, it's been another wonderful show. It's time to go around the table while we got a minute left and let our people have their last say. So I'm going to let our guest, what'd you say your name was again? I'm sorry, I forgot. I got so wrapped up in everything.
Are you talking to me?
It's yeah, Ryan you. Port, our new guest.
TV. Ryan Porter, MakingADifference.tv. I'm on board with your sizz. I'll hook you up with my friends. We'll see if we can get something practical going in terms of making this happen. Because the most sacred thing we can do here is actually create solutions in this dimension. That's why we're here. We're here to pass, learn the lessons of how to fix this dimension. You want to live in a higher dimension, folks? Fix the one you're in. Yep. That's the key. That's how you get to the higher level, by fixing the one, or at least trying your best to fix the one you're in. Sitting around watching it happen ain't going to get us nowhere. You know, we got to apply our fixes, whatever our skill sets are, whether it's spiritual, whether it's ethical, whether it's heart-based, whether it's, you know, inventing a new home that's perfectly energy efficient. Whatever you need, whatever you offer is important, but we have to look at the whole and not the parts to fix this problem.
That's right. It's the positive pebbles and the pieces of the puzzle coming together to get the big picture. You can't get the big picture if there's one missing piece of the puzzle.
What does ME stand for?
I have no idea.
M-E, Mother Earth. M-E, Mother Earth. That's what the real ME is, folks. Get with the program. Okay, love you guys. I gotta get going here.
All right, be safe. Hope to hear from you again.
All right.
So what about you, Two Dog?
You know, the thing about it is, it's in your own neighborhood. Tribe up together. Start making your community gardens and get with we, not, you know, we, us, and ours, and get away from the me, mine, and I, if you think about it. And we're in a very difficult time when spirits get eaten, and we must protect our spirit and always understand that a snake is a snake and it's not going to be anything else. And it's time to start taking care of each other and look at the human being and stop caller look at the human being and help those who are down and cannot help themselves. Put your hand out and pick them up. That's all I'm saying.
Brother, I couldn't say it any better. I'm just saying that, look, the only way it's going to get fixed is if we the people decide to make it so. You know, in my book of faith, it said that no man knows the time or date. He'd come like a thief in the night. That means I got some time to try to fix things the best of my ability, and maybe I won't succeed. But I'm not going to lay down and not try.
I got one other.
Go ahead.
I got one other thing. I got one other thing to go to say, and then I'll let the other guests speak. The only thing I can say is from a actually metal song. Why the heck do they start the war and why do they always send the poor?
Yeah, that's the whole deal gone key, man. Look, it ain't them going to war. They send your brothers and your sisters and your children to war. Look, that ought to be a red flag. You know, there was a time when there was some honor in the whole deal, and the captain of the deal or the doggone leader of the army, he'd lead the rush into the battle. Uh-uh, not anymore. They're sitting back at the office and sending you in. Alright, they're at the back of the line. Wait till you guys go in there and take care of these bad guys, and then we'll join you when the victory's done. They're living off the backs of your labor. They're making money off the backs of your pain and suffering. Your protest are their finances, and that's the way it works. And if you ain't figured that out by now, you'll continue to protest and you'll continue to not see results because they got you right where they want you. They got you playing the Jerry Springer thing. They got people arguing back and forth who's right and who's wrong. There's people on that side of the street pro. There's people on that side for. And there's people in the middle that are victims of circumstances just because they showed up. And there are police with weapons around to make sure that everything stays civil, with quotation marks. And the people at the top, hey, they're going to either get elected or not get elected by the people's public opinion of what they see going on in the streets down there, and you're being manipulated. You're being played like a banjo. I say stop being the banjo. What about you, Barry? What have you got to say?
Well, you know, this show has gone in a million different directions today. It just isn't. I really enjoy getting in with you guys and sharing our thoughts. You know, I honestly believe that the world is going to see a time of chaos coming here in the very, very near future. I think we all could agree that something's in the works, and where it's all going, we're not all sure. But to me, right now, if I didn't have a connection with Jesus Christ in my life, and that's who I identify as my creator, I think I'd absolutely go crazy. I don't know if I could handle some of the stuff that I see going on, because really, it plays on your heart and it plays on your soul. And me, I'm finding a pillar of strength in my life right now, and he's very real, and I'm just kind of watching everything unfold, and I just tell people, man, when the poop really does hit the fan, to make sure that you have a spiritual connection in your life, because if you don't, you're just going to fall into the trap that they're laying down for the whole human race. We all see it, and we understand it, and that's why we're here talking about it.
Well, I'm right there with you, brother. I am right there with you. Look, folks, if you ain't got some sort of anchor, wherever your belief system is, wherever you stand spiritually, if you ain't got some sort of anchor to ground yourself, then you're in for one heck of a ride, because the world is becoming chaotic, and all you have to do is look around to find out that you see people in this world that are miserable. They're suffering to the extent where now they got to self-medicate. Some of them even have to go to the doctor and have the doctor, you know, figure out a way to let them be able to cope with the way that life is going for them. That ought to be a red flag. So what I'm asking to you is, I'm not asking you to believe in my particular faith. If you come around to that deal on your spiritual journey, I'm happy for you. But I'm saying that you need to find some sort of spiritual grounding, some sort of self-awareness, and be able to keep yourself focused so that you're not deceived by, you know, the coming distractions of the world, and you can be stronger for that and raise your family in peace and harmony. You know, we've seen a lot of atrocities since the dawn of mankind. And there's some of us out here that are so disheartened by all the things that we see that we're out here trying to put these shows together to bring you the information, not to scare you into some doomsday thing, but to make you aware and wise and thinking. That's the key. You got to be thinking. You got to be getting out there doing and thinking and speaking and using the power that is you. You know, our Creator didn't build you for nothing. Our Creator never made any trash. You're a treasure. You're a treasure in His eyes, and you're a treasure in all your brothers and sisters' eyes. And to see one of our fellow brothers and sisters fall for any craziness out there that is not right, you know, I'd be willing to give my life if necessary to do what's right, but I'm hoping it never comes down to that, because I kind of like the life I got. I kind of like hanging out with my grandbabies, and I kind of like hanging out with my children, so I kind of like to stick around. I kind of like to see this world repaired, you know. I'd like to see it back in its original state of beauty, which I know I've seen to some small degree by the works that I've done on my own property. And I'm wanting to share that with everybody else out there. I'm wanting to share whatever knowledge I've gathered. You know, my trials and tribulations made me the man I am today. And for that, you know, I feel like I owe my brothers and sisters around the world who paved the path for me to be able to stand where I am today. I want to reciprocate
Patty,
that.
What do you think?
Patty?
Well,
Patty, walking turtle? Turn up your mic a little bit, Patty.
Yeah, come closer to the mic,
Patty.
Lady.
Patty, turn your mic up. Patty, turn your mic
up. Turn up your mic. Patty.
If you have to, yell it out.
Okay. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
It is better?
Yeah.
Are you just...
Yeah. No, it's better, Patty. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. And you got the wildlife in the background. It's been a really good show. And yeah, we have touched on a lot of different subjects and everything. And I know we're way over time today. But, you know, I think there's things at play that we all need to be aware of. And for those people listening, everybody here on this panel, we've talked these things over. We have been on these shows and continually talking about possible solutions, the ways that we can go, what the issues are. For those people who are listening, if you're not sure what the problem is in order to work on solutions, then get a piece of paper and put on one side of it the ways that this system controls you. And what I mean by that is, how are you dependent on this system in order to live the way you're living today? Can you live where you're at without paying taxes? Can you do without pharmaceuticals and still be healthy? Can you drive your car without getting a license? All of these things, every aspect of your life, your education, what about paraplegics and people like this who are totally dependent on this system? You need to write down a list and say, this is how the system controls me. And then on the other side, you put a line down the middle, and on the other side you put, how can I take control of my life? And you put down there, you find solutions to every aspect that the system has control on you. And they're out there. And if you don't have them, somebody does. And a search on Google, listening to these radio programs and others like this, talking with people like Brian, with Two Dog, with all the people, with Stephen, all the people talking, gains knowledge, and that knowledge can be used by you and your community to figure out how to lessen the control. The only way it ever happens is if you release that control, because you cannot operate in this system in a way that is beneficial to life. This system does not operate that way. So you you, the person there whose life is being affected, are the one, the only ones that actually have that solution, that what's going to work for you. Then you get with other people. You start talking to other people to find out how you can implement the solution. Are there other people who have the same issues and want the same solutions? These are the ways that we wind up being empowered, and we can walk away from the system in total. Because you can't say, I'm stepping out of the system, but the system still controls this aspect of my life. You know, I still have to pay taxes, or they're going to come take my land. I still have to do this. I have to pay for water, or I have to pay for electricity, or whatever, because that is control. There are ways that we step out of all of this, every bit of it. There are ways to purchase land that gives that land to you. But anyway, the thing of it is that you need to make a list of priorities and solutions, because that's the only way we figure out what it is we got to do. You know, just a suggestion.
Well, those are wonderful words of wisdom, Patty. And, you know, to emphasize on what she just said, folks, you got to know the rules of the game. Otherwise, you can't win the game. And guess who's writing the rules? Right now, they're writing the rules because we allow that to happen. You know, I'm not what you would call anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-lack of common sense. Look, if there's solutions on the table and you're complaining about things that are going on in your world, but yet there's a solution on the table, there's only one person that can come along and pick that up to solve your problem. That's you. And if anything you've heard on this show, we've said this over and over again, and we'll have to continue to repeat it. If anything on this show benefits you, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, personally, whatever, if this message resonates with you, the only way that you can help us out and yourself and the world in general to make these positive pebbles continue to flow is to send that message out to somebody that you know needs to hear it. You know, I believe in a higher power. You know, I don't force that on anybody. I tell everybody how I feel. That's my honest opinion. And everybody who's been on this panel does the same thing. And we all can sit there and we can have a peaceful conversation, so we know that there's boundaries now that, you know, we can cross, and there's boundaries that we can't cross. We don't try to cut each other down. We don't try to make ourselves look more important than anybody else. We sit there and we look at the issues at hand. We decide where to share this information because it looks to us like it's going to work. And the only way that it is going to work is when you pick it up and run with it. I put an idea on the table. It may just be an idea at that point. But if you pick that idea up off the table and you find that it is something that you can utilize in your life and you make it so, you know, all these different inventions that you've seen out there and all the different YouTubers that are sharing alternative energy designs, they're only as good as how far you're willing to take them and how far you're willing to allow governments to regulate what nature has already provided. You have to be proactive. You have to get together, like Two Dogs said, and build your tribes. Build your networks of people. Your groups of individuals of like mind that have knowledge and have done research and skill set. You know, one of them by themselves might be pretty brilliant, but 10 or 15 or 20 or maybe even 100 or more, the possibilities are endless of how successful you can be as a community when you finally figure out that each one of you is one of those pieces of the puzzle. I've got a picture that's posted on the Knights of the Round Table, and it has a circle of people. And there's one person standing outside that people, and it says on there, "You are the missing piece." That's what we're trying to do. We're not searching for fame or fortune or finance or any of that stuff right there. We're trying to bring those missing pieces of the puzzle together so everybody on this planet can benefit when the big picture is all together. We have solutions for energy. We have solutions for medical. We have solutions for every you name the problem. We'll find a solution. If we ain't got the answer, We got brilliant researchers like Stephen Gibbons. I don't know how he does it, but every time we got a subject going on, he pulls up information, pops pertinent links down in there, and he even finds humorous ones to lighten up the subject or lighten up the day to give us some sort of joy in our heart. And all we're doing is trying to spread the love, the light, positive pebbles to make our world a better place. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, read us where we're able. We'll do routines, report a scene, to bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise, that our quiet lumps in able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, King Shazir's the Turbo. All rise for King Shazir's the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.